And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is Hagman and Hagman Report for today, Tuesday, December 4th, 2012. I'm Doug Hagman. With me is my co-host, my son, Joe Hagman. Folks, you're about to hear 3 hours of unbiased and uncensored news, analysis, and information that you need to know, we need to talk about tonight. We broadcast live each and every weeknight from 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. You can find us on the Internet at HomelandSecurityUS.com. That's HomelandSecurityUS.com. Also, our sister station is CanadaFreePress.com. That's CanadaFreePress.com. We want to thank them for everything that they do for us as well, and for being such patriotic Americans, more so than many Americans in our country. Folks, we have a busy program tonight. Joe, welcome to the program.
Glad to be here. It was an interesting day. Got a lot of stuff done. You have an article up on Canada Free Press and your site talking about, I think, what we're going to begin talking about tonight. We're going to get into Egypt with Morsi and Syria. And, folks, if you want to watch the Hagman and Hagman Report, go to www.homelandsecurityus1.tk. You can watch live streaming of the episode there. Today is the 4th, Tuesday the 4th. 2012 of December. Special announcement: tomorrow night we are going to have a guest, Steve Quayle, and he's going to come on and talk about gold, precious metals, and how it pertains to survival.
Gold and silver, and how that fits in with respect to the end of days and the mark of the beast, and how you can use precious metals to circumvent the mark of the beast for your own survival, for your practical survival. And folks, if you have questions, because normally we do not take telephone calls with Steve. We don't take telephone. We don't take callers when he's on. And as Joe mentioned, that's going to be from 9 to midnight. But if you have specific questions that you'd like to ask him, email me. Just go to HomelandSecurityUS.com, click on my name on any number of articles there, and that'll open up an email box. In the subject line, please use the word or words question for Steve Quayle. All right, questions for Steve Quayle. Simple as that. And then just type your question as concisely as possible and how you would like to be referred to on air. For example, if you just want, if your name is Joe Smith and you just want to be referred to as Joe, just sign it Joe, okay? And we will then present those questions to Steve once we get them. And this is extremely helpful for people listening on the rebroadcast, especially for people out of the country, in Western Europe and in Israel and other places where the time is not conducive to live listening.
Yeah.
So if you have questions for tomorrow night for Steve Quayle regarding gold, silver, precious metals, and how they factor in the end times, how you can survive, use them to survive, once again, just click on my name at HomelandSecurityUS.com, type the question out, and put a name as to how you'd want to be referred to on air. If you do not want your last name used, don't put your last name down. Of course, we keep all the emails confidential in terms of where they originate. So
yeah, and send them to my father, as my email access will be limited, as a laptop I purchased last 3 months has broken down. Thank goodness it's but I tell you what, the last laptop I had lasted like three and a half years. I could throw that thing down a flight of stairs and it would work. This thing is new. Not banged up, and the cooling fan went. So just an FYI, I might be a little behind on my emails more so than usual.
Yeah, and we do get a volume of email. That's why the subject line for tomorrow night is so important. Just a good question for Steve Quayle. And what we'll do is we'll separate that out. And we were going to have a different email address for that, but we decided against it for right now. So that's for tomorrow night. But tonight, let's get right into it. You know, I received quite a few emails today during the course of today about the news. CNN, of course, is reporting that chemical weapons now. There's reports about chemical weapons being in Syria, exactly as we warned. All right, now.
Yes, there's a lot of things heating up in the Middle East, even more so than, you know, they continue to heat up. They continue to escalate. And you did an excellent job in writing a nice little piece here, Chemical Weapons Reports in Syria, exactly as warned. And so it begins, or should I say, so it continues. And you talk about CNN is reporting that unmanned U.S. intelligence officials claim Assad Syrian forces are combining chemicals that would be used to make deadly sarin gas for use in weapons to attack rebel civilian populations. Now, we've spoken on this many times, and you cover this in your article, the false flag aspect of this, the Benghazi connection in this. There are some unsettling things here, and the possibilities of what could happen if chemical weapons are used, it's a nightmare scenario. I don't even want to think about it because regardless of which side they came from, even us, or the rebels or Assad, it's not going to matter. We know who they're going to blame it on. And if there was ever a reason, you know, to put boots on the ground and really get Assad out of there with a UN-type unilateral allied forces mission or invasion, they're going to do it, especially if they can set off chemical weapons. Whether they pay the rebels to do this, or they do it themselves, or Assad does it. It doesn't matter. The outcome is the same.
Well, and this, look, this speaks directly to the credibility of my source. I mean, I'm just the mouthpiece, really, in this case. The credibility of my source with respect to what this individual knows about what happened in Benghazi. All roads lead to Benghazi. Why do you think that the Obama regime, U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., Susan Rice, Hillary Clinton, everybody that has touched this from the administration, why do you think they've been so assertive in terms of blaming this whole Benghazi attack, the murders of four Americans on an obscure internet video? It just doesn't make any sense. The reason, of course, is for the larger agenda. And what I want to do right now, however, is I want to have Joe go through some news. I'm going to back off of this, and then I'll come back. Go ahead and go through some news, Joe. I'm going to come back here in a little bit. I want to take care of something now for the next part of the program. So go ahead.
The dogfighting?
No, actually, no. It's,
all right.
It's something when you bring two dogs to the office. One dog is territorial and the other is not. But anyway, go ahead and go through some news. I will be.
Yeah.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to lay some things out after you go through what you've got to go through.
Okay. Staying in Syria, Syrian rebels killed 29 students and attacked on a school near Damascus. A Syrian rebel fighter firing a rocket-propelled grenade launcher during clashes with government forces in the Salahindan neighborhood of Syria's northern city of Aleppo. A mortar attack by Syrian rebels on a school near Damascus has reportedly killed 29 students and a technical SANA news agency, reported. Earlier reports by a local TV broadcaster said that 8 students and a teacher were killed in the attack on the school about 20 kilometers northeast of Damascus. The Wolfadin camp is home to some 25,000 people forced out of the Golan Heights, which has been occupied by Israel since 1967. This is an article from Russia Today, so we will disregard the occupied quote there. I'll post the article in the chat room, but 29 students killed in Damascus by rebel fighters. Also, Egyptian president flees palace as rioters close in. More unrest in Egypt continues as the new constitution, the Islamist law, the Sharia law, the allowing of slaves, and other crazy Middle Eastern, they call it law, I call it insanity, and it's based on a cult of religion. These people definitely treat it as a cult. As what religion would want you to enslave, kill, maim, commit acts of violence, rape, incest? It's just disgusting. But this Egyptian president flees palace as rioters close in. Time for flashback to nearly 2 years ago when first Egyptian revolution was underway with great assistance from various governmental liberating agencies of the developed world, a.k.a. the United States government, led to a democratic regime. So the ruler lasted all of 5 months before declaring himself temporary dictator. The reason following yet more riots, this time resulting in a siege of the presidential palace, in which the protesters breached the presidential palace cordon. Reuters reports that Morsi, who granted himself temporary supreme commander powers with the unilateral decree on November 22nd, has now left the building, the presidential palace, that is. This will surely embolden the protesters even more, and many will get the military in play once again. One wonders just what regime the U.S. will support this time around, and what happens if control over the Suez Canal cannot be maintained following what is increasingly shaping as a counter-revolution. This is more of the backlash of overthrowing Mubarak and putting in Morsi, the new dictator of Egypt, as we see tensions with Egypt and Israel increasing. We see Morsi becoming more hostile, helping with a bid for the Palestinians so they can go to the UN and be granted some form of statehood. And the same thing is happening in Syria. But back to Egypt. In the article, they talk about how the people had a revolution for democracy, freedom fighters. We were liberating Egypt from a tyrannical, murderous dictator. Well, that happened, and implemented now is an extremely violent Islamic Sharia law, taking rights away from women and many other people, which the Democrats don't seem to care, the Republicans don't seem to care. The same people calling for democracy are watching a undemocratic government form, and hey, who cares? No bother to them. They're not going to worry about overthrowing it again. Why? Why wouldn't they do that if what they wanted to accomplish wasn't accomplished? Democracy, right? Well, what they wanted to accomplish was accomplished. Because they didn't want democracy in the first place. They want this system in place. They want this radical Islamic system in place. They want to antagonize and get the people of Egypt behind them, as we see the caliphate continuing to form. It is just going to get worse and worse and worse. Some other news we're going to get into today. I have an excellent thing I put together, the history of gun confiscation by governments and what it means for their populations. Now, I have, maybe five different instances in the last 100 years where populations were disarmed and what happened to them. And the numbers will shock you. They're... has been, I think they call it democide, murder by governments, over 170 million people to 200 million people in the last 10 years, or last 10 decades, the last 100 years, have been murdered by this democide. Also, Huron enacting ban on eating while driving. The ordinance, and this is the ban on texting they have. They're either expanding it or adding on to a certain regulation on here. They say the texting ban, the mayor of this town, Mayor Dave McGurr, says that it includes everything from eating pizza to reading a newspaper while driving. The ordinance also bars drivers with learner's permits from talking on a phone while driving. The ordinance will go into effect sometime around the start of the new year, with police giving motorists a grace period while they become familiar with the new law. The fine for texting while driving will be $100, and the fine for distracted driving will be $15. Now, this is what caught my eye. What is considered distractive driving? Who decides what distracted driving is? And who decides, you know, I guess the police officers. And if you're distracted or not, it seems to me to be a way to pull people over without any form of proof or probable cause in order to do whatever they want. Say you're a political dissident with a Ron Paul bumper sticker on your car. Well, you look at the MIAC and Department of Homeland Security domestic extremism reports, that's a big no-no. Even a constitutionalist having a sign about the Constitution on your car. Well, then the police can say, I think he's a distracted driver. They can pull you over and go from there. No search warrant, no probable cause, nothing. Just an officer's word saying he thinks you're distracted while driving. Where does the line from driving and doing things like switching a radio station, maybe plugging something into a GPS, turning your lights on? I mean, is that distracted driving? When will this end? And it won't end is the answer I have come to, because these people want total control. They are moving towards it, and they will get it. Other news we're going to be covering today. This really, I was surprised to see this piece of news here. Obama has been consulting with some people on what to do about the tax rates, the tax raising them, the fiscal cliff. And Obama, who did he meet with? Al Sharpton and Rachel Maddow from MSNBC. President Obama met with several MSNBC hosts this afternoon at the White House to discuss tax rates, according to the Huffington Post. The reporter wondered if an MSNBC love fest was going on at the White House. I'll post this article in the chat, and you guys can read it. But this, I mean, this is over the line. I don't remember President Bush meeting with anybody from Fox News to discuss, you know, tactics on how to implement the Patriot Act, or at least not overtly like this, where it is in the news. But we have Obama meeting with Rachel Maddow. Now, I want to she does make me a little bit upset, and I've been working on my anger, and we got to pray for her. But out of the most qualified people in that circle, the media and political circles, Rachel Maddow, really? Al Sharpton? It just doesn't sit well with me. And are these the people that are going to be having an effect on what Obama does as far as his plan, his proposals, what to accept and not to accept? Just very weird behavior from the president meeting with the government station, MSNBC, on consulting them with taxes. Just very, very weird behavior. This also, Vatican has introduced, and I want to thank Vernon for getting this to me, Vatican introduces new security measures after VatiLeaks scandal. Vatican clergies and employees will be issued with an identity card complete with a microchip tracking device, and sweeping new security measures designed to prevent a repeat of the VatiLeaks scandal. Much tighter controls have already been introduced for anyone seeking access or photocopies to the Holy See's archives, dossiers, and documents. The papal apartments, which include the living quarters of the Pope, the officials of his personal staff, and inside the apostolic palace are totally off limits to anyone without strict authorization. An anti-espionage expert nicknamed Mossinger 007 is in charge of implementing the new security procedures with the RFID identity cards expected to be introduced on January 1st. Thousands of clerical and lay staff working inside the walls of the Vatican, from the Apostolic Palace to the Secretariat of State, will be affected by the tighter scrutiny that will enable their supports to monitor when they clock in and out. This is just surprising to me, as the Vatican is, you know, moving along with this RFID program, even though it is only in the ID cards for now. One would think there would be religious exceptions to wanting to have this done, but it looks like it is internal. Now that my father's back, I'm going to give him a rundown. We talked about President Morsi fleeing the palace as rioters have closed in.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, what did you expect?
Yeah. The way I see it is, you know, we went in there to overthrow Mubarak for what?
For what? I mean, to install Muslim Brotherhood.
No. What was the stated goal?
Well, to free and oppress people. I mean,
democracy.
Obviously, yeah.
Right.
I mean, of course.
And we talked about this with all the regime changes. They're
right.
Overthrowing secular dictators and putting in Islam extremists who are anti-Christian, anti-anything but Islam, and it is anything but democracy. Also, this article, Huron enacting a ban on texting while driving, but not just that. It includes everything from eating pizza to reading a newspaper, and they have fines for texting will now be $100, while there is a new fine, a $15 distracted driving fine.
Well,
and I started to go down the road.
I'm all right with that. But
what's considered distracted driving?
Well,
doesn't this take away? I can see if you're texting while you're driving. I can see if you're reading a newspaper
when you're driving.
Right. I text while driving.
And I've seen people read newspapers and books when they're driving, too.
Right. And I don't condone it, and it's bad. But my concern is, say, the police want a reason to pull you over. I use the excuse of being a constitutionalist and having a bumper sticker that says as much on your car.
Right. Okay.
Now, the police, all they have to say is distracted driving, for all that could entail, as much as could be, how do you know looking left or right at a stop sign isn't distracting your, you know?
I
how
thought
do you know?
Perhaps that was an add-on to the texting. In other words, I don't think it would be a primary offense. It would be merely an add-on to the, for example, if you're, no matter what you're doing, let's say you are texting and it's a $100 fine and an additional $15 for distracted driving. But that distracted driving covers all the other activities as well as a secondary offense rather than a primary offense. I don't really have a problem with that. But I do see they're attempting to look at new ways to generate money. That's it, period.
That's one, yeah. It could have made the price a little bit higher than $15, but I'm looking at it from another way. It is another way around probable cause, another way around a reason to pull you over.
They don't need probable cause. They could say that your tire went over the line.
If they really wanted to, no. But in court, if you show that there was no probable cause to begin with, that case will get thrown out. So fast.
So
you're a dictator in the Middle East. You know?
Good one. No, but see, it's your word against the officers in the court and having been there and in that venue, knowing that there's really, you don't stand much of a chance. So you know, I can, in this case, I suppose, I could see how this would be.
Yeah. How it could be used. For nefarious purposes.
Well, yeah, but still. But look, we've got bigger things to really talk about as well. Thank you for bringing me up to speed, and I appreciate you allowing me to take off for a second here. Folks, here's what I was trying to do. I was trying to get an update, and I did get an update on a couple of issues with respect to Benghazi and Syria, chemical weapons, the posturing over there, Russia. It was a very quick conversation, additional conversation, because I had some outstanding questions about this. And I'd like to revisit the situation in Syria, because I think that this is the one of those checkpoints in history where we're going to be looking back and saying, okay, you know, Benghazi was certainly a checkpoint in history. This is going to be a kind of, well, speed bump following the checkpoint. And once again, I thank you for your patience. But according to the information I just received, a couple of things are going on. Turkey is gradually, you're going to see Turkey go from a NATO ally to a non-NATO ally. This is important now.
And so Turkey is going to go from an ally of NATO.
Well, a member of NATO and an ally of the United States.
To
perhaps siding with Russia.
Okay, right. Now, they can still be a member of
NATO.
NATO supporting Russia?
Well, in theory, no, but in reality,
North Atlantic
Treaty Organization, okay. Right, which, of course, Russia is not part of.
Right, so they could be a part of the UN still, obviously.
Right, one has nothing to do with the other.
But they do lose the security of the being allied status as part of NATO.
Well, and this was one of the questions I had. Would this be an official renouncing of the NATO membership? Well, okay, and here's where it gets a little bit murky. No, it doesn't necessarily have to be. Because you could have, and we're seeing this both on a personal level in our lives, folks, and now, I mean, on the national level, you could have a NATO ally that, for all practical purposes, is not an ally of yours at all. And this is something that I think we're going to see happen here. And don't forget, what happened to Benghazi? Well, you had the Turkish Consul General visit Stevens. What was that all about? And as I have asserted, based on the information I received from my source, if you don't think that my source is plugged in, I mean, I got to tell you, he is, and everything that he's told me that I've written has come to pass, or is easily provable, or has been verified in some way, shape, or form, and even some of the things that I didn't write that he's told me have come to pass. And why didn't I write them? Well, for space constraints and for time constraints. But no, that said, the issue here, this looks almost as if this could go one of two ways right now with respect to the chemical weapons. This could be a reminder, a trial balloon of sorts by the United States to the world, reminding the world that Syria has chemical weapons, and that it would appear that they are preparing to use them, kind of the trial balloon for a potential false flag operation that we talked about.
Yeah.
Okay. Now that's one way this could go, and that's kind of the more likely way that this is going, based on conversation I had just minutes ago from another one of my sources.
Well, let me say this. Okay, say we got news right now that there was a massive chemical attack in Syria. If you had to bet, before you knew anything about it, where it came from, regardless of if we ever found out the real
truth. Oh, no, I could tell you right now, you have to look at it this way. The anti-Assad rebels, they're really nothing. They can start the job to attempt to topple Assad, but they, no way, shape, or form can they finish the job.
Well, they're already talking like they have.
Here's the difference.
What they did with Gaddafi, before I heard the phrase, before his body was cold, they implemented Rothschild Central Bank in Libya.
Right.
One of the goals.
Right. And so they did. But see, here's the thing. They did not do that alone. In other words, the anti-Gaddafi rebels in Libya did not do that.
How could they? I mean, how could a group of al-Qaeda rebels that have no
Think of it this way.
Monetary experience, no connections to the IMF, World Bank, the Federal Reserve Systems, institute their own central Rothschild
World
Bank.
They couldn't.
Right.
All right. Think of it this way, though. All right. By comparison, as an example, imagine a militia from Alabama getting together, a militia of several, I don't know, we'll say 2,000 guys getting together and going and trying to topple Washington.
Okay.
How successful do you, in having no support from any other state or any other entity, no support from the inside, just trying to do, how successful do you think they'd be? Not at all. They wouldn't be successful at all.
If they were respecting it, they wouldn't.
But so that's what we have, and maybe that's an oversimplification. But what you have in Syria is you've got a group of limited capacity attempting to overtake an army that is no Libya, is no Iraq, is no Libya or no Afghanistan. And the Syrian army is equally, if not more, potent than Iraq's army. So taking them down in this fashion is really not – they can start it. They can cause a lot of problems. They could be the fly in the ointment. They could be – it could become a real problem. But are they going to effectively topple Assad? No, they're not. So what we have done, we meaning – the United States via Obama CIA, using the agenda of Saudi Arabia and some of their assets as well, the weapons intended for Saudi Arabia, weapons intended for other parts of or other countries, and weapons from Libya. We've shipped them up to the rebels. We've supplied manpower. We've transported, when I say supplied manpower, we've transported it's a Ho Chi Minh Trail from North Africa to Syria by way of Turkey with men and material and weapons, all right? So this is what we've done to create an anti-Assad army, if you will, to topple Assad, one that can get the job done. Well, meanwhile, and this is where, and of course, when we first started talking about this, what Benghazi did, and everyone's really got to really understand this, when the attack happened at Benghazi, what that did was that lifted the curtain on the stage and expose what was going on behind the stage. That's why this is so important, because the curtain was pulled up, and the stuff that was going on behind the scenes, it was exposed, if not just for a minute, but the entire audience, meaning the entire world, got to see what was going on in the background, behind the scenes, behind the curtain. And everybody, from Obama to Petraeus to everyone on the inside, to Biden, to Panetta, to Clinton, to Rice, everyone, to Carney, they shut that curtain, pull that curtain down. You can't see. You can't see what's going on behind the curtain. Because if you do, that gives you insight into not only what's going on in Libya, but their plans for Syria and their plans for the entire Middle Eastern region. And the fingerprints, whose fingerprints are on this operation? It's Saudi Arabia. It's the United States via Obama. It's our fingerprints. Some of those chemical weapons, yes, from, and you know, let me just get this off my chest, ladies and gentlemen, because the mere mention of my name on certain forums, they pull threads, and of course, I'm not welcome on certain forums.
Why?
Just because. I don't know.
Because you smell funny, or?
I'm sorry. Hygienically challenged. But no, look, but see, here's the thing. The message is so important to get out. I just want to write under John Smith or something, because,
right.
Look, because then I see various threads and other people writing about this from a sign of ignorance.
And let me just say this for people who maybe not be too or not forum savvy. You know, there's a lot of different forums out there where they have millions of viewers a day, where you can create an account for free. You can post news stories for free, and it gets the attention as the people think of how important it is. Free Republic.
Yep. Well, yeah, of course.
You're not allowed. We're not allowed there.
No, it's Doug Hagman.
Even
not welcome.
You weren't related to us and had the same last name as us, you probably couldn't open an account there.
Right.
GOP.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I had an account there for a while. Banned us because of defending some defending Steve Quayle versus what somebody said there. Completely banned us. And there's all, I mean, it's not just forums, it's other alternative news sites.
Other websites as
there
well.
There are alternative news sites who talk about the truth, and talk about the real truth, but have this infighting.
But, and there's a reason why we're bringing this up, and it has nothing really to do with us being sore about it. I mean, it's obviously it would be nicer because the truth would get out there and people would understand, but there's another reason behind it.
Yeah, it's frustrating not being able to go on the forums where, you know, you or I used to go to post our information that lots of people would see. It would get to a lot more people, you know, and we kind of gave up on these forums.
Well, other people posted stories and see my byline and
this is the crazy part. You could post an article that you wrote with your name on it.
Mm-hmm.
It'll get taken down in an hour. Somebody else could reword a few words.
They could put the same article up with a different byline.
Right. And it'll get praise from all the administrators and
yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Well, and that, see, again, we're not looking at this for, no, it has, there's something else going on here, and people have got to understand what's going on. It is, and this is part of this, this part of the entire, boy, I'm going to say this word, conspiracy, because it is part of the larger agenda that's taking place here.
And if people knew the backgrounds of some of these places that are doing this, you'd be shocked.
Absolutely.
Of the things that have happened in the past that, you know, people helping their website, and you'd think they would do everything they could to help get the word out about this stuff.
But you're
tainted. It's like
the
mentality that people have that nothing Alex Jones says or does is okay because he could be compromised, which if he is compromised, so be it. But a lot of the information he brings is completely accurate. Now, does it serve a higher purpose in some other agenda? I mean, you don't have all the answers.
Well,
a lot of what is said and what goes on, you know?
Here's the issue, okay, with respect to that. There is an undercurrent here. There are people that are trying to bury this story on the right, on the far right. There are some conservatives trying to bury this story. That's the real reason here that we bring this up. Okay, for example, on Free Republic, there are members of that organization or that website that will post the articles and it will be taken down by this administrative moderator. Well, okay, but why? Did I crank them off somehow? Well, maybe I did. Maybe I didn't. I don't know. No, but here's why. Because there are it's a political issue. It has become a political issue when even if you are attempting to get the truth out there to expose the progressive agenda or to even beyond that to talk about the takeover of our political system. The very mention of that or any attempt to expose that, hey, guess what, Bonnier, for example, is not who he says he is in turn, or what he says he is or what he should be, or even, you know, McCain or whoever, you just pick a favorite, an establishment favorite. What happens is they don't want any exposure, any light on that particular the subject or person or whatever. So that's the reason. And what happens is the truth gets flushed down. It's got everything to do with politics in this case, but it's not in their mind, it's a right-left issue. It's a conservative-progressive issue. But in the real world, it is a truth versus alternative reality. That's the biggest issue, and this is what concerns us the most, because here's what's at stake here. Right now, you have 40,000 dead in Syria. You've got tens of thousands of refugees. You've got 100,000 Russian troops inside Syria right now as we speak. How many? We are spread as a military so thin. It's between countries. When this war goes hot, and it will, perhaps, I'm kind of thinking maybe based on the information I got toward spring.
Are you talking about boots on the ground?
Boots
are we talking
ground.
About?
No, I'm talking about boots on actual
drone invasion.
Well, yes, because they're going to have to put boots on the ground too.
Make sure they're
chemical weapons and such.
And
right?
Make sure the plans go right.
Right. Okay, when this happens, they are going to be facing not only our troops, our men, our women, are not going to be just facing these ragtag groups of rebels. They're going to be facing Iranian army and Russian army, and to some degree, Chinese armies. Now, think about that. Think that through for a moment and understand the gravity of that, because Russia has a lot at stake in Syria. That's where their pipeline, their energy pipelines go through. Turkey to Syria, they've got a deep water port in Tartus. They've got a lot of strategic and economic importance is connected to Syria on behalf of Russia. They lose that, and Syria falls. Turkey will eventually go as well. And from that point, all of the little stand countries are going to go. And you're going to have it's going to be just chaos and global chaos with the Muslim Brotherhood. This is what Obama is trying to push through. All right, so that's the agenda, and it's not just Obama; it's the people behind Obama, and this is where the other people, the other groups, the other forums, the other websites, the other even some alternative media don't want to tread. To get to the root, the core. Well, what's behind Obama? It's the Obama and the Muslim Brotherhood. Absolutely. But let's not make this just simply a right-left, Democrat-Republican political issue. It's not. It's more than that. It's a New World Order issue.
And there's an article here on Activist Post, U.S. repeats Syrian chemical weapons warnings. And they have repeated these chemical weapon warnings or whatever
right.
You want to call them, fear tactics, numerous times. But they go on to pose the question. They say Damascus government is preparing such munitions for possible use, as the article indicates, but no evidence was provided nor any reasonable explanation as to why the Syrian government would deploy such weapons when, after 2 years, the majority of the Syrian people still stand behind the government while the terrorist forces flooding over in Syria's borders have been faced with constant tactical and strategic defeat. Why would Assad gas his own people when he is winning civil revolution?
Assad, okay.
Remove the Western forces.
No, folks, look, you have to understand.
But
that.
Why now?
He wouldn't, is
right.
The reason.
Right. So you put all these pieces together we're going through.
Right.
And if a chemical attack were to happen, which would lead you more and more to the conclusion that it would probably be the rebels. Now, the attack hasn't happened. We don't know if it does, what the circumstances are, but like you, I would 99 to 1, maybe even 100 to 0, if there was a chemical attack, I would bet it was not brought on by Assad or the real Syrian army.
No, and I agree with that. And other people have to see it for what it is, because you have to understand, folks, that once a chemical weapon or a nuclear weapon is used, forever, the world condemnation, is going to be just tremendous. So, even in the battle of the political, the world political will or the world I don't want to say popularity, but certainly you would be condemned forever and go down in infamy as being one of the worst people in the world. So,
and they could already be facing that without even releasing a chemical weapon.
Well, of course, because and this is what we're seeing too. We're seeing women, children, the bodies being pulled out, and it's interesting if you watch different. News reports of different networks, and you will see some of the same images, some of the same people, some of the same victims being carried out of whether it's Gaza or Syria. Look very carefully; you'll see some familiar faces. They're using stock footage to show the atrocities that are taking place. Now, of course, Assad is no angel, and I've got no love for Assad whatsoever. But what's taking place here is something totally different. And the reason we want to hammer this home so hard, so much, and because this, you are, folks, you are watching right now the initial stages of the of a third world war. And I dare say, and think about this, let me throw this out to you folks, all right? Remember during the summer, remember when everyone was looking for something to happen at the Olympics?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that was one of the most, it seemed as though, especially in hindsight, that they really played it up. I mean, they put all the indicators times 10 out there to make people think something was going to happen.
It did. It did.
But
it happened.
But it wasn't the kind of thing that we expected. It wasn't a nuclear bomb. It wasn't the London Underground getting hit by terrorists. It wasn't a false flag. But what was it? Because it is more important than all those things.
Folks, you know, I have to say, if you think about this, what do you think happened at the Olympics this summer in London? What do you think happened there?
I don't know the answer to this.
Okay, well, let's see. Like I said, let me just kind of give it a run-up to this. Right before the Olympics in London, everyone was saying, could there be a false flag? Even we were saying that. Could there be a false flag? Could there be something that would happen at the Olympics? Brandy, all right.
How to scientifically cure your hangover?
Don't know what that was.
All right. Little gremlins against us. Okay. We're in the run-up to the Olympics. Everyone's expecting, even us, something to happen. And the Olympics came and went. Nothing happened. No terror attack. Nothing. But did you see the Olympics? Did you look at the Olympics? Did you watch the Olympics?
Did you see
what was going on? I didn't either. But I'll tell you something. I'll tell you something right now. The Olympics, how about this? The Olympics announced to the world, and you look, you know what? You guys might think, oh, you finally lost it now, Doug. If we are dealing with a globalist agenda, and if the globalists are really behind everything, and the elite are behind everything, and they have so much power as they do, where are they based out of? Of course, London. What, you know, where were the Olympics held? London. What, they fought so hard to get the Olympics in London.
And this is something we talked about last night.
Right, 1908, the Olympics were held there. And by the way, the Olympics, the Olympics that were held, the Summer Olympics, those are the key, I mean, for the ceremonies, the real Olympics, if you will. And I'm not going to go through all the mental gymnastics behind it because I don't understand a lot of it myself, but I do understand enough to be dangerous. But 1908, 1948, and 2012, okay? Those were the dates when London hosted the Olympics. But this last time, remember how there was a fight where the Olympics were going to be held, and finally they're held in London. Well, what happened? The terror attack didn't happen. But like I said, if the New World Order, if the elitists, if the globalists, if these people really have the power, and they really believe that they can nation build and tear nations down and rebuild nations. And by the way, folks, you know all those national lines, the boundaries, and
what
Turkey,
boundaries? The guy in the International Space Station just came out and said he sees a world with no boundaries.
Right.
And we should go to the world with no boundaries.
Well, guess
and
what?
I would agree. If we were a world with no boundaries,
yeah, sure, it'd be nice, wouldn't it? Wouldn't
Jesus?
But look, here's the thing. But who created those boundaries? Who cut up the countries in that part of the globe? It was Great Britain. It was.
Good. Oh yeah.
Okay. So now think about this. Think. Research, analyze, just evaluate. Don't even listen to me. This is something that you and I are just talking about. Okay, this is something we're just talking about. So the Olympics are held in London, the seat of a lot of power of the elites, the very country that actually carved up nations to begin with, set boundary lines, set national country lines. Then, along with the United States, go into these countries and cause chaos. Well, what's Obama all about? Or I shouldn't say Obama. What are Fabian? Or what are socialists all about? What are revolutionaries all about? It's chaos. What's going on over there? Chaos. Okay, so start connecting some dots. But the Olympics, think about this. If, like I said, if everything is true, might not have the Olympics been the opening ceremonies of just not necessarily just for the Olympics, but for something bigger, for a national or for a global plan?
I'll tell you what interested me when we talked about this yesterday, some things you brought up. One, I remember when Steve was on earlier and this late summer, we talked about the transit of Venus. And I asked him, what would be different? What's the difference from this transit of Venus from all the other times that happened in history? And he said it is different because of the amount of demonic activity, the just blatantly open satanic occult symbolism rituals that are being done in the public, not only in the public, at sporting events, NFL games like the Super Bowl, and even the most watched television part in history, which is the opening ceremony of the London Olympics.
Well, and here we have it. This is going to be the last transit of Venus for a generation.
And
this,
yeah,
to 2012, and this happens to be the Queen Elizabeth's 50th Jubilee anniversary.
Was it the 50th?
Yeah.
Okay.
Diamond Jubilee.
I thought it was the 50th.
No, it's Diamond Jubilee, and diamonds hold a very specific significance to these people, insofar as they represent crystals, and there's a lot of mysticism behind diamonds. Okay. There are some other things too. But you get the idea of the significance behind having the Olympics held here. So, what if what we're looking at today in Syria, and what has gone on since the Olympics? What if the Olympics were this play? Because what were the Olympics to begin with?
What are they welcoming in? The new demonic entities that are plaguing the nation?
Yes. But in the beginning of time, or when the Olympics first started, what were they? They were entertainment for Zeus, right?
That's what I heard you talking about earlier.
Right.
Now, I'm not sure of the origins of the Olympics. I know the origins of the gladiatorial games in Rome. And
well, who's Zeus?
Isn't Zeus these alleged ancient Greek mythology gods that are taught in high school, are taught in, you know, American schools as, I mean, that's what I remember them as. What was Zeus, Hercules, Plato one, or Plutus,
no.
I don't know. But
Pluto.
I always was under the impression the way I was taught in public school was that they were Greek mythological gods.
Well, Zeus is basically another name for Satan or for Lucifer or the devil. I mean, it represents evil. So the games were initially to please, to entertain the satanic gods. Now think about that again. So here we are.
We have an elite, a ruling class that openly is carrying out satanic ritual and worship services.
Everyone's looking for this big magical stuff. It's right in front of our faces.
Jesus is being banned from prayers. Bible studies are being, you're being arrested for holding Bible studies in your house. Being a Christian now puts you on a domestic extremism list. So we see what is happening here. they are attacking the Bible and the Lord.
Yes.
While doing so, they are promoting Satan, the occult, and that just evil mentality.
They're telling us what they're going to be doing to us.
This is a question to all atheists, non-believers. How can you still not believe in the Lord when you can see, and this is for the people who are awake, because I see so many people who understand what's going on with the government to a T. I mean, these people know. They know exactly what's happening with current events, and they're right. They're not, you know, it's not propaganda, nothing. But when it comes to religion, and they always see religion as this huge problem. Well, it's the cause of all the problems. Kind of like the theme of the Zeitgeist movie. You know, it is the root of all the problems. How can they watch these evil Satanists worship Satan, and yet they still dismiss the, the Lord or the good and evil? Or the Lord in an afterlife. You know what I mean? You have these people who don't believe in God, but
right.
Fully awake to what's going on. See the increase in occult and evil activity on this earth. But it's like they don't connect the dots. I just don't understand that.
Well, I understand your question. I mean, I think I kind of understand why, but, the question is for the atheists out there, if there are any listening, and certainly you could pipe in and give us your idea. But see, and this is really, I really believe, and after hearing and understanding this a little bit more than I did before during my research, as I've been researching this quite heavily, I believe that what the Olympic ceremonies opened up certain things. Now, okay. I'm going to throw one more thing out there about the Olympics, and then I'm going to be quiet about this because
we got about 4 minutes on top of that.
All right.
So.
Here's what I want. Here, folks, think about this. All right. Just think about this. Well, maybe someone in the chat room can answer my question. When did the Olympics end? Does anyone know?
This year? I mean,
about the London. When were the closing ceremonies?
Yeah. I do not know.
If you,
when were the opening ceremonies, do you remember?
It doesn't really matter. When were the closing ceremonies?
A week before 9/11. And this, the beginning of September. Maybe end of August.
All right. Where is Steve? So Steve's coming tomorrow night. Okay. Now, here's but think about this. What announcement was made yesterday, ladies and gentlemen in the chat room? What announcement was made yesterday, or the day before, or
I'm lost.
There was an announcement made. It didn't have anything to do with the games, but it had something to do with people in London. People laugh out loud. I'm so lost. Okay, I apologize for. I apologize. All right. Look, here's what I'm trying to say, and let me just recap this very quickly. All right. What we're seeing going on in Syria right now, and everything going on in the Middle East, I believe, based on my research, that the Olympics, the London Olympics, because where it was held, the timing in which it was held, the numerology, and if you want to get involved in that kind of stuff, but the symbology behind the Olympics was a show and by the elitists, by the people, by the powers, by the movers and shakers, by the people who actually create nations and tear down nations. It was a show for them, and by that very show, it was a very satanic ritual, if you will, and I know I'm going to lose people saying, no, you're an idiot. But, you have to think like these people think, not like you think, but think like these people think. It was the opening of a new generation, a new age. That's what this Olympic represented, this latest Olympics represented. The opening of a new age.
And that makes sense,
okay.
Because the people say that December whatever of this year is the beginning of a new age.
Right. It opened the portal. It opened the somebody said earlier about the evil, about the dripping, satanic nature. Okay, now here, I'll tell you what, we're up against the top of the air break. We're going to take a break, and I'm going to come back. I'm going to finish my thought because
when we come back, because it's
important.
When we come back, I have a video queued up for Troy's going to play. It's called Hillary Clinton Wants More Money for Alternative Media Propaganda. It's 2 minutes and 22 seconds long by Ben Swan. So we're going to go to commercials. We're going to come back. We're going to play.
I'll tell you what. Hold that video, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Hold that video.
That's
but fine. Let's come back. Let's go ahead and go to the break. We'll come back. Let me finish my thought, and then we'll move on to that. Listening to the Hagin Hagin Report for this Monday or Tuesday, the 4th day of December 2012. Thanks for being here. Thanks for your patience with me.
And don't forget, tomorrow night's special show from 9 to midnight with Steve Quayle. The show will be titled Precious Metals and Survival and the Mark of the Beast. And it should be a great show. Folks are listening to the Hagin and Hagin Report. We'll be right back after these short messages.
Hi folks, Doug Hagman here. You might know me as the co-host from the Hagman and Hagman Report, or as a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. If you're like me, you're tired and confused over today's headlines, you just don't know where to turn for accurate, concise information about really what's going on, what's truly going on in today's society. If you don't know where to turn for accurate, well-researched, and properly vetted news, I've got a suggestion. In fact, it's a requirement. Bookmark Canada Free Press. That's CanadaFreePress.com on the internet. It's just not for Canada. It's for news across the world. Judy McLeod, founding editor, has put together a vast array of talented writers like Kelly O'Connell, Daniel Greenfield, Dr. Eileen Johnson-Powell, a lot of guest columnists, very talented writers. Folks, that's Canada Free Press at CanadaFreePress.com. Now mobile friendly. Follow on Facebook. Because without America, there is no free world.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
You better wake up fast and listen to this, America. The Obama campaign has launched attack squads disguised as truth teams dedicated to intimidating and silencing all political dissent carried over the internet that criticizes the Marxist Obama. Truth Squad specifically focused on covering up Obama's endless trail of lies, corruption, and subversion, and using the Gestapo power of our own government to police and censor the internet and shut down websites that dare to carry the real truth about Obama's Marxist coup. Remember the names of these Gestapo-style agencies at work right there in your neighborhood: KeepingHisWord.com, KeepingGOPHonest.com, and AttackWatch.com. KGB, SS, and Gestapo-style police state gangster organizations at work to silence the important voices of patriot dissent, some of which have already been shut down by Obama's orders. Adolf Hitler would have been proud. We're the 21st century Tea Party Patriots.
Hold on to your seat. The Hagman and Hagman flight is now taking off. Doug and Joe Hagman have cleared the runway of TSA agents, jihadists, political crackpots, and global elitists. Now get ready for some real news. Here they are, Doug and Joe Hagman.
This is the place for me. There's a future. This is the time and a heart for love. But now see you paid me for. I'm
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the Hagman Hag Report on this the fourth day of December 2012. I'm Doug Hagman, and with me is my co-host, Joe Hagman. Of course, you are listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us live tonight. If you're not listening to us live, I want to thank you for downloading this podcast as well. Where I left off at the end of last hour, I think this is so important, folks. And here's the thing. Everyone is out there looking for things that are going on behind the scenes. And there are many things going on behind the scenes, but things that are you know, through the fog and hidden by the fog and hidden by the smoke and mirrors and in the funhouse and where everything's distorted. And there are things there. But folks, let me say this. There are other things, I believe, just as powerful, if not even more so, that are not hidden, that are out in the open, and that are the very signatures, are the very signatures of the elite, of the people who are actually pulling the strings of the puppets, who are actually behind the banks. Who are the banks? We'll say the 300 or so people on the planet that run the planet that feel that they've got this lock on the future, the real people. Okay, it's these people who are behind everything. And see, here, and don't forget, folks, 2012, and you listen to Steve Quayle, you listen to Tom Warren, you listen to other people talk about 2012, and of course the Mayan calendar. Everyone's looking for the end of, you know, end of civil. I think it's the end on the 21st of December, 22nd of December.
Yeah, the whole world is just going to stop spinning.
Right, right.
No, just poof.
No. But see, and folks, this is what this is to me, from an investigative point of view, as an investigator. This is brilliant. What they're doing is brilliant.
And think about it. The world's going to end based on some ancient calendar. But nobody says how. Nobody has any ideas. Nobody. It's just going to end.
No, it's not. It's not. See, it's no.
Right.
What we're watching, folks, is the beginning. The beginning of a new age. The beginning
That's
of
right.
the age of the very people who want to destroy us, who are going to treat us, who are going to enslave us.
Right. And you know where
it is?
They get this age. It's from astrology.
Of course, because astrology plays a key role in this, as does numerology, as does symbology. Everything that has to do with satanic,
yes,
Luciferian agendas has to do with this. So,
and a new age being brought in wouldn't be complete without the new age religion that is more prevalent today than any time in history.
That's right. So if you take a look at if you take a look at everything that's going on this year, the Summer Olympics, the very Olympics that hold the significance of the Olympics, because you've got the Summer Winter Olympics, the Summer Olympics, the Olympiad. Okay, it's these Olympics that hold the significance. So now you had the fight over where this was going to be. Now it ended up in London. Why London? London is the seat of power. London is the new Rome, folks. London is the new Rome.
It is the financial capital of the world.
Yes, yes, yes. Everything revolves around Great Britain, around the United Kingdom. This is, it's back to Britain, folks.
Well, we are in the new world over here, where Europe and Israel and the Middle Eastern countries have been the centerpiece of the world for thousands of years. Only very recently, they call it the New World over here, what was discovered. And the way things played out was turned into America. America, Canada, Mexico.
If you don't think that the United Kingdom wants to retake America, they do. And folks, I'm going to tell you right now, the dollar collapse, What would we, just think about this. If the U.S. dollar collapses, wouldn't it be something if Canada actually had a stronger dollar than the United States?
Don't they already?
Well, but forever and ever. Okay. And of course, Canada being aligned more closely with Great Britain. But here's the thing. See, and here's the evil genius behind this. 2012, the in terms of the various cultures, as I said, Tom Horn, Steve Quayle, they all talk about this, about the Mayan calendar. It's the beginning of an age. They talk about the various, and Tom Horn goes into extremely detailed analysis of this. And Tom will be on the show in January. I did have some conversation with him. He'll be on the show in January with Steve Quayle as well. So it's going to be a great show. But that said, look, there's like four different calendars, three additional aside from the Mayan calendars, they're saying that 2012 is going to be the end of one age and the beginning of another. And this is what we're seeing. So think about this, ladies and gentlemen. And think about this, that the London Olympics marked, they were the opening ceremonies, the magic act, the intentional, visible magic act, the ceremony to celebrate the beginning.
Not only that,
this age,
the build-up to this new age, the New World Order speeches by the world power financial brokers, the presidents, and the leaders of the world. You know, it was rare when you heard the phrase New World Order uttered by a leader on the news or anybody on the news.
Isn't that something that,
now,
but guess what, though?
It's
in 1990 was the
they
first.
They admit it.
1990, George Bush, New World Order, first time he uttered that, well, not the first time, but the time that he uttered that phrase in public.
Then Bill Clinton.
But 1990, and then
Obama.
We had 9/11, and 11 years later, then after that, 2012, we had Libya, but we also had the Olympics, and then the transit of the Venus.
I mean,
once again, the calendars, the astrology, all of this in 2012, it's right in front of our faces.
Even Ahmadinejad calls for a new world order. The Pope called for a new world order. He called for a new economic world order, the Pope. But everybody seems to be on the same page in the
that's right,
the elite of politics,
right,
of every country. They want a new world order.
But,
and it's not a new world order. I mean, you guys know that.
It's
not a
old world order coming back.
Exactly.
It's
the rebirth of the one world order system.
Right.
The Babylonian system.
But see, but here is the other part of it, too. And this, to me, you know.
And I want to say something to Nisha in chat. She says they're talking about the New World Order in children's cartoons. I was actually at a friend's house where, yeah, they were, it was some cartoon. He was a kid, and there was a Cartoon Network, and there was these good cartoon figures fighting bad ones, and the good ones were the new the world order, the world order of police or something like that. I couldn't tell you what cartoon or when, but yes, I see it. The clothing. My friend had a jacket he was wearing. Didn't even know on the back it had these little subtle symbols of the eye and the pyramid. I mean, you go to Walmart, Kmart, these symbols are everywhere. On our clothes now, on kids' toys, on kids. I mean, they are subliminally.
But if you go back to Walt Disney, remember when you were a kid, folks? Remember as a child watching Walt Disney? Do a search on Walt Disney on the subliminal messages to children.
Oh yeah, the sexual messages that are hidden in there are what's pointed out in the Disney movies. The
But I'm so passionate about this because and I've got just a few more things to go here. But I'm so passionate about this because now, like I said, everyone is looking for that what's hidden. You know, everybody's looking for that hidden nugget of truth. But you know, that's why these elite, the global, the planners, the people that are behind the puppets like Obama. And I'm not saying Obama is merely a puppet. Obama is a puppet that popped a few strings and is doing his own thing as well. But here's the thing: everyone's looking for it hidden. It's more than that. It's out in the open. And you know what? These people are looking at you and laughing at us. They're laughing at you. They're laughing at me because we're fumbling around, you know, on our hands and knees looking for something when all we have to do is look up and there it is. It's right in front of our faces, folks. It's right in, and that's the evil brilliance of it because, you know something? Folks, I don't know if you remember an Alfred Hitchcock movie. I'm going to just give you an analogy. It's kind of an interesting analogy. It relates to a couple of different things, but there's a back in London, there were a bunch of killings, brutal killings of women and this guy would go into, or there'd be a killing and it would be in the paper. And of course, the newspaper only publishes so much, and they leave the police only give the newspaper so much, and they leave some things behind, leave some things out. Well, this guy would go in to confess to the murder and give all the details, or give the details of the murder, but wouldn't go when approached by the or when interviewed or interrogated by the police. The guy would not give up this one detail. I wouldn't say anything about this detail that was not known. And there'd be another murder, and this guy would come in. And pretty soon, the cops would expect this man to come in, and he would come in and confess all these murders. He was the one doing the murders. He just wasn't telling the whole story. The cops were looking at it all wrong. See, that's the thing. We are looking at this all wrong. We are looking at this all wrong. What we expected to have happened during the Olympics, no. It was a show. It was for the entertainment of Zeus, of Satan. This is what it was all about. Now, you might think I've lost my mind, but seriously, when you start connecting the dots and you start thinking like these people think, and that's so important. It doesn't matter what you believe. You're normal, okay? You're a normal person. You're wired correctly in your head. It's okay. But see, these people are not wired right. They're not wired right. It doesn't matter if you believe it or if you can conceive it. They can. They are not wired right. But they know that. So they're looking at you and stumbling around in the dark trying to figure out, you know, what's going on. And there it is right on stage, right in front of your eyes, right in front of your eyes.
So while everybody's looking for something to happen, they're performing it right in front of them.
Exactly. And look at the satanic rituals. Look at the numbers. Look at the simplistic. The evilness is in the simplicity of this. Look at it. Look at it. Look at it. Don't believe a word that I say. Don't believe me. Don't take me at my word.
I don't.
Research it. Do it for And I'll tell you something. Don't go to conspiracy internet websites. I mean, or what you think. Look, go to a library for once. Go to a library. Remember what those are? They've got real books that you know you can actually hold and research the symbology. Research the Knights Templar. Research all of this. The Club of Rome. The Council of 300. Research all of this. The bloodlines of people. Do your own research if you don't believe me, and you don't have to. But here's the other thing, too. So this queen, by the way, and this pope, isn't it interesting they're talking about the pope maybe not finishing out his reign, but he, you know, who knows? He may. Petrus Romanus, the prophecy of the popes. For the first time, I don't know if generations or generations, the Pope met with the Queen back 2 years ago, I think it was. That's interesting. You've got numerous things taking place, all involving Great Britain. You've got involving Great Britain, Rome. You've got the Vatican, all this. But now here's the thing, okay? What was announced right after, or here this past week, that had to do with the royal family?
The pregnancy.
Pregnancy. Of who?
Kate Middleton.
And Prince William's
wife, yes.
Think about this. I don't know. And seriously, I don't know how far along she is. I don't know about doing the math. But
well, they said in the article yesterday that the announcement's usually made in the 12-week mark of the pregnancy.
Okay, so
they had to do it before because of some kind of complicated her sickness or whatever, morning sickness.
Okay, but think about this. Is it possible that her children to be born? Notice how I said that. Her children to be born. Is it possible that they were conceived or during the closing ceremonies or during the Olympics? Is that possible?
Could be. They also speculate that it was during an Asian tour or a tour to somewhere in Asia.
Just to quickly recap the high points. So if that is possible, and if the Olympics were a satanic ritual for the entertainment for the god, Zeus. And it was by the people maybe I'm taking too much medication.
It's good to
blood pressure meds. You know?
Researching this, because how long have I talked about this with you? You just, not that you didn't want to know, but you had a lot of other stuff going on. You weren't sure. And the way I presented it sometimes, but sitting here watching, you get the picture.
But see, you know, and here's the thing, because you can only go so far. When things start, when you're on that rabbit trail and you're investigating, you're on the rabbit trail of clues, and you keep going, and bang, you hit your head against the wall, and you keep going, and bang, you can only hit your head against that wall so many times until you say, wait a minute, something's not right. So then we got to look around here a little bit, reevaluate. And then when you realize that you're looking at everything wrong, just like the cop and the guy coming in and confessing to the murders. He did commit, but they were blowing him off because he committed. Oh, and by the way, I should have told that story correctly. He would confess every murder, not just the ones he committed, every murder. So, so he was like a regular fixture. So it's right in front of our noses. That's the beauty of it. And see, if that, so let's just assume for a moment that I could be right, and I'm not totally off my rocker. Let's just assume for that. What does that mean for us? That means that there's a new age upon us, and that means that there's a higher agenda, objective taking place, and that means that what we're seeing all across the globe has not only more meaning, I mean, it has much more meaning than what it appears to be. That everything is more than what it appears to be. No, well, maybe not everything, but most important things. And it does play into, especially if London or the UK or London is the new Rome and the UK is the new empire, and there's a refashioning of the new British Empire, then the very same British Empire that made those lines, those national division lines, made the countries, split the countries, they're causing the chaos on purpose to so they could take over the countries. So the sun will never again set on the British Empire. Maybe that's what's going on here, just maybe. And if that's the case, then how do we look at situations like Syria? How do we look at the Israeli-Palestinian situation? We have to take a step back and reevaluate how we're looking at everything.
And
that's what I'm talking about.
And in case you're a new listener, before you do any of that, if it is not done, the spiritual relationship with the Lord and Savior is the most important thing to work on, research, to do the work on. If we don't have that, we have nothing.
But the other thing, too, and I'm glad you said that, because the spiritual aspect comes in really, really big in this, because think about this. In order for us to fall, they've got to corrupt us internally. They've got to corrupt us morally. They've got to corrupt us spiritually. They've got to take out our currency. What good is it? What good would it be for another country to take us out? Or what good would it be for Obama to intentionally tank our country, aside from the fact that that's what he does? I mean, he's a revolutionary. But what good would it do? What good would it serve? If you don't look at the bigger, if you just have that narrow picture.
Right.
But when you start opening up and saying, wait a minute, there's more going on here.
Right.
Now it kind of takes some flavor to it.
And just speaking on Obama real quick, something I talked about while you were out of the room, I don't know if you saw this or not. Obama was consulting with some people at the White House on tax rates. Did you see this?
Yes.
He met with several MSNBC hosts, Rachel Maddow, Lawrence O'Donnell, and Al Sharpton, to talk about
that's tax a surprising rate. Thing.
I just find it absolutely unbelievable that of all the people that Obama has around him, he's going to consult these brain dead mainstream media drones. It's just absolutely unreal.
Well,
I don't know
if
you saw this either. And I don't know if Orly Tate has sent you an email, but there's been a subpoena granted for Obama's Occidental College records.
Say that again.
A subpoena has been granted for Obama's Occidental College records.
Occidental College records or Columbia?
Occidental College records. There has been much controversy surrounding Obama's citizenship. The speculation that his Occidental College transcripts will provide the proof of foreign citizenship based on the application of a recent who have a receipt of a non-U.S. citizen scholarship to study in the U.S. Dr. Orley Tates, Esquire, has secured a subpoena from the Superior Court of the District of Columbia to obtain the following record custodian at Occidental College. One, all records related to Barack Hussein Obama II, known as Barack Hussein Obama, including without limitation to the application for admission and transcripts. All records related to Barry Sotero, including without limitation to applications for admission and transcripts. If proof of foreign citizenship is obtained somehow through these documents, then Barack Obama doesn't meet the basic qualifications for the presidency. It says no person shall be natural born citizen is citing the Constitution. And it goes on to finish, whether or not the subpoena is upheld remains to be seen, but the stated deadline for the delivery of the documents to Dr. Ortiz's office is December 14th.
Are we talking about Orley Tates?
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I said Ortiz. I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah, I was thinking, wait a minute, is there another person involved here that I wasn't sure about? Okay, good. There are more people joining these lawsuits, by the way.
Yeah, I didn't know if you saw that.
I got to tell you, there are a couple of new ones, and it's very true that, it could be Ortiz. In fact, there's, I think, five other plaintiffs. But here again, they're only going to give up things that they want to give up that they know is going to be innocuous and harmless. So it's not his Occidental records, it's his Columbia records.
Well, it depends. It depends on where he applied for foreign aid, how he applied to each college, if he applied as a foreign student.
You know something, I am absolutely convinced that he could be found ineligible right now.
And what would happen?
And it wouldn't make a hill of beans difference, I'm going to tell you right now, because we have reached the point of absolutely no return.
Yeah.
And
even if he was proven a non-citizen or that he applied as a foreigner and got foreign student aid.
No, but that was then.
If you even report on that, you will be slandered.
I've already been slandered.
You were a brand new journalist, fresh out of college. The first story, you're working for a local paper. The first story you're told to write about is Obama's college records where he applied as a foreign student. Say that happened.
Right.
It came out.
Yes.
You wrote about it, just the facts that you had. You didn't know the history. It doesn't matter who you are. You report on that, you will be a racist.
Yes, absolutely. And even now, even some of the – see, and folks, look, I believe me, anyone who does radio for a living, I have a lot of respect for. I don't care which side of the aisle you're on. If you produce a good product, man, I got a lot of respect for you because it's a lot of work. And you think 3 hours, all you have to do is just show up and read a couple. No, it's not like that. You've got to gain an understanding that's far beyond anything that you – it's hard work. But so I'm convinced that people that are actually that have these cushy gigs where they're making a ton of money, they don't want to risk that, even if it's in a subcategory. Like, hey, I'm subbing for Sean Hannity this week, and I'm making some dough here, and plus I'm getting exposure. You don't want to risk being, you don't want to tread on that ground. Plus, you've got producers and other people over you saying you don't touch that topic. Well, you might ask why, and they might tell you, well, it's because it's stupid. It's already been decided. It has no merit. But the real reason is, of course, the accusations of racism and bigotry, and also, but the real reason is that they don't want the truth to come out. But see,
the race card is a tactic that they use constantly when they cannot form. I mean, when you're telling the people of the United States that you have to implement this health care law, but not only that, you have to make it mandatory that every single person pays their fair share, even if they don't receive health care or are out of that system, don't need it for now, you're going to pay a penalty of tax. You go against, you talk bad about that, you're racist. Of course, the whole 2012 presidential election, Romney, if you vote for Romney, you're racist. But it's because they don't have an articulate an intellectual argument against the points being made against them. So they use these undermining tactics to throw people off, get people nervous, make people uncomfortable. You can make a point, the perfect point, that just tears these news anchors apart on any subject, and they'll come back and say, well, that's racist.
Well, if
Obama failed this class, he must be incompetent in this subject. Well, that's racist. Susan Rice is, you know, what'd they call her? Incompetent? They called her something else. That's racist. You know, wanting small governments racist. This is their whole agenda. They're going to call us every single name in the book, conspiracy theorists, crazies, racist, religious fanatics, nutcases, terrorists.
Plagiarists. Yeah. But see, at this point, I'm to the point where, right now, where all I care about is getting the truth out, doing my job. I feel like every one of us here, folks, everyone listening to this broadcast, like I've said so many times, and I'll say it again, like I'm not going to stop saying this. Each and every one of you were born to live in this very time that you're living in. Every one of you, each and every one of you has an appointed task to do. You know, whatever that task might be, you might not even know what it is yet. We might not even know what our job is yet. We might not have served the purpose, but everyone born, everyone living right now has a purpose. And in the larger sense, though, we all need to understand. We all need to seek knowledge, seek the truth, seek wisdom.
That's so important. Seek the truth.
Yes.
Seek God's wisdom.
That's right. But we also have to fight for. We have to be spiritual warriors for God. And when I say that, and I'm not being trite.
No, that is one of the best ways I've heard it put today. As I was talking with somebody about this earlier, the level of involvement. And what say that again?
We have to be spiritual warriors for God.
Yeah.
God didn't put us here so we can lay down, get in a fetal position, and say, oh, no, don't tell me anymore.
And this goes to the point where people say, well, you know, when you talk about your eternal resting place, but I'm a good person. I don't have to read the Bible and pray every day. I
go to church every
day. I don't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard that argument, you know, recently from people I know, and I'm trying to explain to them that it's more than that. It's more than just being a good person. It's more than just saying, I believe in you, Jesus. If you're not, how can you say you believe in him if you're not following what he said to do? How can you say you believe in him if you're not furthering his will?
That's right. That's right. So don't, I mean,
we all have our shortcomings.
Well, of course. Well, of course we do. And mine are plentiful and for everyone to see. So. But here's the thing, though. We all have to accept our job with a certain amount of courage and acceptance and say, you know what? I am a warrior for Jesus. I am a spiritual. I'm going to fight the spiritual battle. I'm not going to sit and watch reruns of some old television show when I can be out there doing what I need to do. I mean, in other words, don't run from what you are appointed to do. Now, that also means preparations, practical, spiritual, mental preparations. When you prepare, you've got to prepare for things. Because if not for you, then for your future, your offspring, for your future generations, your legacy is within your children and their children and their children. See, when they look back, And when the book of life is open and your name is in it, and we're before that white throne of judgment, how do we perform, even if the question is not asked, but how do we perform when called upon to do so, to stand up by God? How did we perform? Did we lay down and curl up in a ball and say, I'm not going to fight? Did we lay down and sit with our Bermuda shorts and our sombrero and with a drink with an umbrella and then wait for the rapture? Is that how we did it? You know, is that what we're doing?
No.
We are taking care of business.
And this goes into something more. You know, I was thinking this weekend of where we were a year ago, last year, 2011. you and me, where what we were doing. We were doing the radio show on Saturday. You were doing the website. You were still
2011,
going out of town and working, and we had some family stuff we dealt with last year that kind of...
Was that last year? It seems like 5 years ago.
Yeah, it was last year.
Wow.
And to where we are today. And what did we do to get here? We just showed up.
Yeah. And that's... See, very good. Thank you. That's excellent. All you've got to do to win is show up, folks.
I was thinking, all these people who have all these dreams, you know, what's stopping you from starting them now? I know money is an issue, and all these other things can be issues, but we don't know if we have tomorrow. We can do anything we set our mind to.
That's right.
The only thing holding us back usually is ourselves. At least that's me. When it comes to most things, I'm the one holding me back from reaching a goal.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you ever want to see a lazy son of a gun, okay, a guy that has more excuses for not doing something, a guy that could...
Don't talk about yourself. Then.
I know. You're my son, so I have a lot to, like, smack you around a little bit. But no. But see, in numbers, and this goes back to even what we talked about with the DSA, in numbers. We can win the battle if all we do is show up in numbers. We can win different battles. You know, the gentleman I speak with from the other government agency talks about playing a zone. Play your zone. And, you know, he had to tell me that probably 100 times before I understood that. Play your zone. Everyone's got a zone. So you guys in sports, you know what I'm talking about. Play your zone. But by all means, show up. Don't just sit back and wait for things to happen for you. Show up, play your zone, and let's get down to business. Let's take care of business. And what's the business at hand here? All right, well, the business at hand is to expose this evil agenda. People are going to laugh at you. You doggone right, they're going to laugh at you. They're going to mock you. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to ostracize you. They're going to tell you that you need to, you know, you better get some more lithium in you. They're just going to take you to the psychological cleaners and abuse you mentally and put you at the kids' table at Thanksgiving. That's what they're going to do to you. Okay, that's exactly what they're going to do to you. And you know what? So what? Because when it's all said and done, all you're trying to do is save them from eternal damnation and save them from terrestrial hell that's going to be unleashed on this earth.
That's right.
All right. I got to tell you, man. I have to tell you, some of the stuff I've seen and read and heard in the last several days has just blown my mind. That I would not have believed, you know, 5 years ago or 2 years ago or 5 months ago even, maybe. I don't know.
It's good to see you've grown, even if the research leads you to dead ends.
There's a ton of dead ends, man.
You can always take something away from your experiences. And whether you are picking up on things or not, and obviously you are, you know, this is going to be good for us, good for the show. As we can, you know, sit down and brainstorm about these, and we're going to have to get guests on. We're going to have Doc Marquis back on.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Hopefully soon. Hopefully I can get him on early next week.
Well, this has everything to do with the Illuminati the bloodlines. And you know, I used to laugh and think, oh, the bloodline.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Are you serious? You know, bloodlines.
I remember a time when I worked for my father where the word Illuminati was basically the same as, we'll say, aliens. You know, they don't exist. What are you talking about? It's not. But you've come a long way.
Well, thank you for that.
It's from your hard work. And
but see, I'm the hardest person to convince, and I'm a skeptic. Okay, by and you wouldn't know it to listen to the very part. But I'm a skeptic by nature. And somebody if I'm interviewing somebody and they're saying, well, yeah, I wasn't there at the time of the fire. Yeah, sure you weren't. You know, I automatically disbelieve everything I hear until I, you know, verify for myself. All right?
Yeah.
So,
I don't know if you saw this. I know this is not going to make you happy, or me, as we do like dogs. This is Northside Family says prize puppy was unjustly shot by cops. Northside family is furious over what they claim is an unjustified police shooting of their 7-month-old miniature bull terrier. Colonel Phillips, known to the neighborhood as the Colonel. Residents are also upset not just because the police shot the puppy that they all knew, but also because the shooting occurred not far from a preschool on a street where pedestrians, including children, could have been hurt.
Let me stop you. Okay, go ahead. Make your point.
Saturday afternoon, the colonel became a target himself. He was shot by a Chicago police officer in front of his owner's gate. The Northside home, the police were writing a parking ticket for a van belonging to an Al Phillips. Phillips, who came out to move the vehicle, it says, "My little bull terrier followed me out. Then all I hear is boom, boom, two shots. You shot the dog." One eyewitness, Charlene, said that she heard the officer warning Phillips about the dog being loose, but the officer never sounded like he was in danger. All of a sudden, I heard him say, "Get your dog," and the next statement was, "Get your dog," and he just pulled out the gun and shot him twice. Apparently, this was just, the dog wasn't attacking, wasn't being aggressive, was just not on his leash in his front yard on his property.
So it was on his property,
mm-hmm.
and the cop shot him.
Mm-hmm. And we see, the reason I bring this up is because I have seen more cops shooting dogs this year than I can ever remember.
Well, I have too.
I mean, it's bad.
All right, let me weigh in on this, and I'll say that I think this is an absolute shame because I really believe that how people,
I'm sorry, how, cops are shooting dogs.
What did you say?
Apparently, I said dogs are shooting cops.
Well, no, that would be a headline.
That would be.
All right, but here's the thing. All right. It's how people treat animals. I think that we're seeing, I think that's a symptom in our society.
Yeah. They just found a guy, arrested him for animal cruelty for putting cats in a freezer.
So now, but here's, folks, and work with me on this for a minute. Think this through, okay? Here we have outrage. I mean, total outrage, as well it should be. By people. You're going to see this on Facebook. You're going to see YouTubes about this. You're going to see outrageous Twitters or whatever they call those things, tweets. You're going to see people that are, you know, calling for the cojones of the cops who served on the plate. Okay, you're going to see outrage, rightfully so.
Yeah.
But let me ask you a question. How many aborted children, how many children were killed?
There you go.
And where's the outrage? How many aborted children were killed the same day that dog was? And where's the outrage?
How'd you know I was going down that path? Because we didn't talk about this. No, I was going to continue on. We have a culture. These cops are, in some cases, shooting people handcuffed. Just the amount of rage and aggression shown by cops, sometimes warranted depending on the situation, but anymore we see it's really not. We have incidents where people are shooting animals, the cops are shooting dogs, other animals. A lot of people are torturing animals lately. Even here in our town, we had recently a case where they were skinning a cat, they stabbed a cat. We see all these things done, and it makes all this news. But like you said, no mention
about
starving children across the world every day.
Yes.
30,000, 40,000 people starve a day in this world. 3,000 children are killed every day. There's a 9/11 every single day.
And with the other, we're going to see that come to this country. You're going to see that
starvation
come to this country.
You know, we got the Patriot Act. We have a 9/11 every day. 52% of the black population are aborted anymore. We have Planned Parenthood.
Hey, Al Sharpton. Memo to Al Sharpton. You know, that could be the next Jesse Jared Martin Luther King that gets aborted. Why don't you speak up and say something about the black babies that are getting aborted?
Right.
You're AWOL. Huh?
To go back to this racial thing, you know, how we're labeled racist because you don't like Obamacare. Obama has done more to hurt the black community and the minority community than he has to help it. The black unemployment is skyrocketing. It's just terrible. He's not doing anything to help these people live better lives, which it's not his job, but when you see 93% of African Americans vote for him, 98% of black women, and that's mostly directly because of race. And they're voting for their own enslavement. They're voting for their own demise. But they don't care because
they don't.
They can have a black president and say, I mean, Obama could, like I said, perform an abortion at a press conference on live TV. And you speak out about it, well, you're the bad guy. And this is the society we live in now. And you're right, there is no outrage for the troops, all the military men and women who fight for the freedoms of this country being slaughtered overseas. The Afghanistan army continues to have these rogue elements that are blowing up. I don't know if you heard there was a bombing in Iraq. There was five soldiers killed in Afghanistan. Every day there are people being slaughtered, starving.
Well, my question to everyone is this, and you know, I don't know
but
why.
But guns are the problem.
Well, you got, yeah, of course. You know, I don't know why some columns that I write, you know, get absolutely no traction that I would think that they would, and others do. That's not the point. When I say traction, I mean get spread wide, get passed around where there's people can see the information. I don't care about anything else besides the penetration of the truth. That's it. But we're at a point right now, and I think we have to realize this. We're at a point right now where we've never been before in modern history. Obama, and folks, I'll tell you this flat out, this is what I believe. I think maybe you can go back in the tapes and find my prophecy, or not prophecy, I don't prophesy, my predictions, my guesses, I guess would be a better term, that Obama would be reelected handily.
Did you say that?
I think I did.
When?
I don't know. You know what? I don't know. I do know
you might have said that, actually.
I know.
The only one that said that.
I know that when I was on Lori Ross' show, I said it because I remember having a real dust-up with her about it, and she said, no, that's not going to happen. And I mean, it was a friendly dust-up, but it was, you know, and she said, I think we've got a steak dinner on it. Like, I don't.
I know that the elections are over for a long time, and I still wake up some days thinking how that happened.
Well, the reason I mentioned the elections is this. We're done with elections, I believe, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think you're going to see another election in this country, because I don't think we're going to have a country in 4 years.
And it doesn't matter anyway, because the people are picked. It's not a choice by the people. They're picked by the elites.
That's right. And, you know,
look at Ron Paul, for an example. Whether you like him or not, just push that aside. He met the criteria to become part of the National Republican Convention, to be eligible to be nominated. He won six states. He needed to win five.
Right.
The Republicans changed the rules in all these towns, the voter fraud, the manipulation. He won Iowa. He won all these states that would have gave him the push in the beginning that, you know, Romney got, and that was it. He was leading all the polls in Iowa. He was taken out by fraud in order to put up the Romney, pretty much like the McCain-Obama ticket. Now, even with a candidate as Romney is, even though he was a Mormon, Obama got reelected, and Obama's not even a Christian. Nobody knows what religion he is, if he even is religious, aside from being satanic. But everybody had a problem with Romney being Mormon. I had a problem with him being Mormon.
Well,
but still.
Hey, you know what?
I'm just saying.
You don't even have to go there. Just think about this.
At least you know what religion he is.
But I understand that, but you don't even have to go that far. Remember, we were talking about the Olympics. What was Romney's job in Utah?
Yeah, he was the head of the coordinator to get the Olympics in Salt Lake.
He had his hand in the Olympics. So even looking at that, there has to be some level, at that level, there's got to be some cohesive knowledge about what's going on, even at the most basic of levels. And if that is the case, and I believe that to be the case, then there's a level of complicity. There is some complicity. Okay, so, you know, same coin, different sides. And it's as Steve often says, there is no political solution for a spiritual problem. And we are, in fact, dead on in a spiritual problem. And think, too, look at, you know, as Benghazi was a window of warning, as I said before, that it gave us the opportunity that the curtains went up and we could see behind the curtains, and we knew, okay, that's what Benghazi was. It gave us a chance to look and see what was really going on. Everyone else is on the theater floor on their hands and knees looking for something that wasn't there. But Benghazi was to the accidental glimmer of the truth, and no one's touching that even today. Look at what's happening with the economy. Look at what's happening to the economy. It's really not about the economy, it's about the dollar. But think about Geithner. Think about Geithner. Think about Ben Bernanke. Think about the Republicans and Democrats who are throttling this country and pushing us down into an economic Armageddon.
Yeah.
It's both parties.
An economic Armageddon where they have, or an economic end of the age.
That's right.
When the new age comes, they have the solution.
Wouldn't it be something if at the end of all this, we came out with a new currency, and in fact, we most likely will, because, you know,
they have to.
Yeah, exactly. But all of this, it's all connected, folks. This is what we're getting at. It's all connected. And tomorrow night, like Joe said earlier, Steve Quayle from 9 to midnight, he'll be on Eastern Time. We'll be here to be talking about precious metals, not precious metals to buy them, folks. It's not going to be a commercial infomercial.
Precious metals.
How to get around this mark of the beast system.
Precious metals. How to use them in times of an economic collapse.
Right. And we're going to talk about bartering and about stuff that you guys can use, and I know I can use, and practical advice, because this guy, look, Steve Quayle's been in. Gold and silver. And you know what? Let me say this. I knew him for probably 5 months before he even, and he never asked me to buy anything from him. He never asked me to buy a book. He never asked me nothing, ever. He sent me, he sent me free of charge a couple of books when we first met. But that said, it's all about you folks understanding how you can survive in a world where you will be branded either as a Christian or as a political dissident. It's about your survival. And as I said, if you have a question, because we won't be taking calls with Steve tomorrow night, just send it to me. Go to HomelandSecurityUS.com, find my name on the page, click on my name, it'll open up an email, your email client, put in the subject line question for Steve, put it in there, fire it off, and I'll make sure he gets it. And we'll address the questions on air tomorrow. But, man, see, this is we need this practical advice because we need to play our zones, every one of us. We need to live for another day. And as my friend was telling me today, telling Joe, telling us today, see, here's the thing, Revelation, the book of Revelation, does it not say, or, and I'm not, I don't know if I can even quote this correctly, but we are to fight. We are to fight. We are to survive. Maybe fight's not the word, but we are to survive through the turmoil, through the stuff that's going to happen. And when we come out the other side, we're going to receive a blessing. And when we go through that again and come back, we're going to receive not only we're going to receive more blessing, additional blessings from God. So that means we are to survive. We have to survive. So in order to do that, in addition to the spiritual armor, the prayers, the spiritual, having your spiritual house in order, hey, a little bit of practical advice would be nice, wouldn't it? I mean, that's kind of what I'm looking for, too. I want to know how to circumvent this beast system, how to barter, and you think, well, geez, you know, any idiot could figure this out. Well, really? Really? Well, count me as an idiot because there are things that I want to know. I mean, I'd like to know.
Yeah.
And that's why this is going to be important.
We're going to be taking calls in the third hour. I wanted to start in the last couple minutes of this hour getting into this gun grabbing, the history of gun confiscation or gun control by the government forced on people can be a sure death sentence. And I'll only get into a little bit of this. I know we got a lot of calls. So this starts the evidence is clear. Hold on, sorry.
You all right? You
I think it was one of those big spiders in my throat. Average citizen.
Did you have to see a spider when I was
No, it's okay. Stay on the ground. The evidence is clear. Average citizens' rights to unrestricted firearms, the ultimate means of self-defense, must not be infringed. History shows what happens when we let law-abiding citizens turn in to unarmed citizens. For foreign invasions, a tyrannical government, criminals, or perhaps even an extraterrestrial invasion, gun rights should be totally be re-implemented in this nation and fully protected. However, if a citizen is shown to commit a violent crime with a gun, he should be imprisoned for life. We will not tolerate irresponsible and immoral behavior. If you drink and drive and kill people, you should have that taken away from you as well. But we should not ban drinking, nor should we ban driving. That was a piece, little write-up.
So we can drink and drive?
They're saying if you are... if you have a gun and you commit a crime with it, you should lose your right to kill somebody driving.
I didn't make
gun,
that connection.
You should lose your license or right to drive.
It's all about the guns.
A quick history of gun confiscations in the last 100 years and what they resulted in. Genocide.
I just want to say, hang up here. Just hold on.
Premeditated expulsion and mass murder of a people because of its identity, race, ethnicity, religion, culture, and language. The first one we started with is the Armenian Genocide. This happened in Turkey from 1915 to 1917 during the reign of the Young Turks of the Ottoman Empire.
And by the way, folks, this gives you the template for what could happen because we don't really know exactly how this is going to go down. Yeah, but here's some examples, as Joe set up. Here's some examples.
And the Armenian Genocide is also known as the Great Calamity. It refers to the forcible depopulation and slaughter between hundreds of thousands and more than 1.5 million Armenians to 2 million Armenians. It depends on which study you look at. But in 1915, the Ottoman Empire set out orders to destroy the Armenians. They were Christians. The Ottomans weren't. Public documents show the government planned on mass genocides, but they kept their intention secret. What they did was, one instance was they drafted or enlisted a bunch of Armenians into the army, and instead of sending them to war, they sent them to forced labor camps where they were never seen again. This went on for 3 years. I'm going to go through some of the laws and ways that led up to this Armenian army. What they did is the Ottoman Empire was part of World War I. It was with Russia and Germany. It was on the side of Russia and Germany during World War I. And what they did was first they killed the women, men, and children without discriminations. The rulers lied about their intentions, drafted the Armenians into the army, sent them off to work brigades, and they were never seen again. In order to kill the rest of the Armenians, it was necessary to round them up and disarm them. First, they made a law making it illegal to possess weapons without registering it with the government.
Okay.
Under the punishment or imprisonment.
The very first thing that they did was they collapsed the will of the people. The second thing they did, as you just pointed out there, they made it illegal to possess any type of weapon without registering it with the government. And this goes right into what Reno was saying, right into what all of our people were saying. Go on.
I got a quote from Janet Reno here. She said, waiting periods are only a step. Registration is only a step. The prohibition of private firearms is the goal.
That's always been the goal since day one,
right.
Folks.
And you see here, in the first example in history of 20th century of genocide happened when they began to take the guns from the people. And this is kind of a sequence of events. What happened was, in 1914, an estimated 2 million Armenians lived in the Ottoman Empire, while Armenians lived in East Anatolia and many other inhabitants of the western part of Turkey. It wasn't that the Ottoman court that caused the massacres in Armenia. They said it was the Christian propaganda in Asia Minor where the cry, "Down with Islam," triggered the War of the Crescent against the cross.
It's never the court, it's never the law, it's always the Christians. Just remember that.
In 1914, the Ottoman Empire entered World War I on the side of Germany, Austria-Hungary, and Bulgaria. Turkey launched an unsuccessful military campaign against Russia and accused the Armenians in the region of siding with the Russians. Kind of like the Patriot Act almost set up, accusing us, all of us, of being terrorists.
That's right.
Ottoman authorities had already begun a propaganda drive to portray Armenians living in Turkey as a threat to one's country's security. They labeled the Armenians a threat to national security. In 1915, Turkey rounded up and imprisoned and later executed 250 Armenian intellectuals. That year, the cabinet passed a law of expropriation and confiscation, legalizing the deportation of Armenians and ruling that all property, including land, livestock, and homes belonged to Armenians were seized.
Yep.
The 250 Armenian intellects and community leaders were arrested and later slaughtered. Also,
it sounds a lot like communism to me, folks. What about you? What do you think?
Yeah. They go on. The New York Times in 1915 reported that the road to the Euphrates were strewn with the corpses of exiles and those who survived the doom to certain death.
So refugees today.
To exterminate the whole Armenian people. Theodore
genocide.
Roosevelt characterized the carnage as the greatest crime of war, describing it as a Holocaust. Churchill wrote, "There was no reason to doubt that this crime was planned and executed for political reasons."
Of course not.
No. But going on here, I'm not going to go through all the
Winston Churchill. You know, I admire him, certain things about Winston Churchill, but come on.
I'm just going to give a few examples of things that happened. February 27th in the village of Chamoka in the Kurgan province, the government demanded all weapons from the Armenians. March 1st, the Armenian and Turkish army are deprived of their uniforms and arms.
Guns first, folks.
Yep. March 3rd, Armenian soldiers in Erzurum army are deprived of their uniforms and arms. March 7th, the search for weapons conducted in Alexandria and a mass arrest of Armenians were carried out.
Down to April 3rd, mass arrests and search for weapons are carried out.
Yep.
Okay, and this, see,
in Russia and Hedjin,
the seizure of all arms, including household knives.
Yeah.
Including the knives.
And listen to this. When that happened, when they went and rounded up all the guns,
yeah,
and knives, numerous rapes during the house searches were reported.
Of course.
April 24th, the Armenian Patriarch in the Constantinople and Zorab, Armenian deputy of the Ottoman parliament, petitioned the Grand Vizier, Saddam Halim, the minister, on behalf of the arrested Armenians of Constantinople.
No, they were approached separately. Look, they all gave, all three gave identical answers that the government is isolating the Armenian leadership and dissolving Armenian political organizations, okay?
Yeah, and we're up against a break. I'll just run through the last two things of the Armenian genocide and disarmament. Right here, April 24th, editors and staff leading the Armenian newspaper were arrested and slain. They were also arrested.
Talk show hosts at that time. No, I'm just kidding. But
yeah, I mean, this is, imagine today. And they made all these laws banning the rights of weapons to the Armenians. They came in, said that they had jobs for them, said that they should had army things, jobs to go do, and regular jobs on the highway and army jobs,
right,
as long as they came with them. First, they disarmed them. Then they took them away. Then they were never seen again, okay? 2 million people. And that's 1915
right.
to 1917.
2 years, and don't forget the 60 million that were killed by gun control by the communists. Folks,
well, yeah, we got that next. 60
well,
million, 1917.
We got some calls coming up after the top of the hour. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman Hanging Report on this Tuesday, the 4th day of December 2012.
If you're stumped, you don't know what kind of gift to give to a friend or a loved one, I'm telling you, you must go to 4physics.com. That's the numeral 4, PHYSICS.com. This is your one-stop shopping palace. That's the only way I can put it. I could spend easily an hour on this website. Innovative, fun, educational. There are games, books, weather instruments, unique time-telling devices, jewelry, optical devices, laboratory equipment. Let me give you an example. We all know we can tell time with a sundial. You've seen those advertised. Did you know that you could tell time by the stars? At 4physics.com, you can buy a Horologium Nocturnum. This was a navigational device used in the 15th century by navigators at night to tell time by the stars. It's beautifully crafted in the shape of a pendant made of bronze and pewter or gold and silver. Absolutely a stunning gift. I would be proud to give it to anyone. You must go to 4physics.com. Even if you're not stumped, that's 4physics. That's the numeral 4, PHYSICS.com. It's your one-stop shopping palace. Any problems that you have, I don't know what to get Grandpa, I don't know what to get my loved one, that's unique, you will find it at 4physics.com. Please take my word for it. Go to the website, but give yourself a lot of time because you're not going to want to leave 4physics.com.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have a long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the Brick Pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP Brick Packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
Doug Hagman. One guy that doesn't need a bullhorn to get your attention.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to our third and final hour of the Hagman and Hagman Report this Tuesday, December 4th, 2012. Just a quick housekeeping note. Tomorrow, program time is 9 p.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time, as we will be joined by special guest Steve Quayle for a show on metals, how they can be used to survive in the economic collapse, and the mark of the beast. With that, we're going to go to phones. I don't see your caller.
The area code you gave, we're not seeing it here on the switchboard. So if you did call in,
we'll come to you next.
Yeah, we'll be.
Yeah, we'll first to we're going to go to Jesse. Jesse, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Roger that.
Oh, it's been a while since I've done this live. I'm kind of nervous, but anyway,
It's just us. That's all.
Oh, okay. anyways, I usually catch your shows on the archives, and I heard you mention something about, if Israel is backed up against the wall in regards to Syria, that they might possibly use a nuke or of some sort. Yeah, I heard you mention that. I thought this was very interesting because I came across, like, I mean, I don't know if you ever heard of this website called escapeallthesethings.com. I don't know if you're familiar with that at all.
No.
Okay, well, no. Well, I was reading a paragraph on one of the articles this individual wrote, and he mentioned that Israel has this program called the Samson Option. I don't know if you heard about that.
Yes, I'm very familiar with that, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, yeah, and he gave some very specific verses regarding to the ruins of Damascus and everything, and with what you guys said, if the possibility of Israel having to nuke Syria for Damascus to become a ruinous heap, I think that is probably a very good observation. I mean, because I think if you look at Psalms 83, with the Ishmael and all the tribes surrounding her and everything like that. Because in Isaiah 17:3, it specifically says the fortress also shall cease from Ephraim, and the kingdom from Damascus, and the remnant of Syria. They shall be as the glory of the children of Israel, saith the Lord of hosts. And then you skip down a couple verses later, it says, woe to the multitude of many people, which make a noise like the noise of the seas, and to the rushing of nations, that make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. The nations shall rush like the rushing of many waters, but God shall rebuke them, and they shall flee far off, and shall be chased as the chaff of the mountains before the wind, and like a rolling thing before the whirlwind. And behold, at eventide trouble, and before the morning he is not. This is the portion of them that spoil us, and the lot of them that rob us. And then if you skip down to Jeremiah 49:23-27, it goes into even further detail on that. And Psalms 83 obviously goes into more detail. Personally, I think this is totally different than the whole Gog-Magog war thing. I mean, I personally think that the Gog-Magog war actually happens after the 1,000 years. I mean, that's just my personal thing.
Let me chime in here and say this. I think your observations on Isaiah, but very particularly on Psalm 83, I think what we're going to see here first is going to be the Psalm 83 war, and that's going to be the confederacy of 10 groups, not necessarily Arab nations, but groups,
right,
that would include Hamas and Hezbollah coming against Israel. Then, of course, it'll lead into the Isaiah war, and then Gog Magog, and then, of course, Armageddon way later time. So I think you're right on the money with that.
Right. And one other thing, I was like looking at three portions of scripture here, like in Matthew 27, 24 through 26. And I've done studies on this numerous. I have a YouTube channel and I do videos all the time and everything like that. I don't get too many views, but I mean, that's just the way it is sometimes. But
well, not a problem, you know.
What is your YouTube channel?
It's JJ Vassal 1982.
Okay.
Don't tell me 1982 was the year you were born. It wasn't.
Yeah, yeah.
Only a year older than me.
Do I feel old? Okay, all right. That's all right.
Anyway, when how can I put
this? No, I got off track.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But in Matthew 27:24-26, it talks about, you know, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. Speaking of Jesus Christ, see ye to it. Then answered all the people, Jewish people, and plus the people that were intermingled there, said, his blood be on us and on our children. And that's kind of interesting, especially with the afflictions that the Jewish people have suffered throughout these ages and everything like that. I thought that was kind of interesting. It's basically, I mean, when they said that, it's almost like they were putting a curse on themselves by saying that. But then on Matthew 27:26, they said, then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Now, this is very interesting because I did a little key search on the word Barabbas, and if you separate that word, and if you look up the word in the Strong's, it actually means son of the father. Now this is very interesting when it comes to the type of this possible of this end time dictator coming on the scene. because you look at the word, like, I mean, you separate the word bar, which means son. The word bar means right. son in the Greek, and Abba means father, son of the father. So when they were both standing there, and he said, which one should I have released unto you? And he said, crucify Jesus, give us Barabbas. It was almost like a symbology thing of, hey, you know, they're accepting the false son of the father in reality to the true son of the real father. You understand what I'm getting at?
I kind of do. In other
yeah.
words, yeah, okay, yeah, in a very convoluted sort of way, but I think it's intentionally convoluted. Okay, all right.
It's kind of like a type or typology type thing, like type or anti-type. Basically, they rejected the true Messiah, and they're going to reject the false Messiah in the future. You know, they rejected the Messiah at the beginning, and they accepted a murderer. You know, and so, and it's going to be like the same thing when this false Messiah comes on the scene. Again, they reject the true Messiah, and they accept the false Messiah, Antichrist, for the 7 years or 3.5 years or how, you know, there's conflicting times with that of how long that's going to last. But
will the real Messiah come concurrent with the false Messiah?
What's that?
See, okay, what you're saying is they're going to reject the real Messiah in place of the false Messiah. No.
I think he was saying that they rejected the real Messiah.
Yeah,
2,000 years ago,
right?
And they will reject the coming false world teacher that is proclaimed to be the Messiah.
Yeah, they'll accept him at first, and then obviously, according to Zechariah 13, they will look upon him whom they have pierced, because it says in Zechariah 13, if you skip down to the last couple verses, it says, "And it shall come to pass that in all the land." Now, if you look at verse 1, it says, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, specifically. And it says in Zechariah 13:8-9, "It shall come to pass that in all the land, said the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein, unfortunately. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried." This is basically the remnant of the Jewish people that are going to actually see or actually look upon him whom he has pierced, because in the middle of this chapter in Zechariah 13, which is a very interesting study, it says, in verse 5, "But he shall say, I am no prophet, I am an husbandman, for man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends." Now, I mean, who can that be?
Hmm.
I mean, that.
Okay.
Yeah, because Jesus was crucified in Jerusalem. Okay.
Right.
He was wounded in the house of my friends, and a third of them that are in Judea right now will eventually get their eyes open. I mean, unfortunately, it's very sad to see it like this, especially in the last two verses, that two-thirds of them are going to be cut off and perish. I almost tear up every time I read those last two verses, but
perish, you know, we have to say this. Many will perish for the lack of knowledge. And see, and that's where people like yourself and us, where we try to come in and we hope that through our efforts, I mean, we're not up here, playing checkers, okay? We're up here trying to get the job done, like you are, you know, through your videos and YouTube presentations. We're trying to spread knowledge and save people, you know. And I mean, that's an important task.
Right.
Boy, it sounds like I just had a seizure there. It's an important task. It's an important job to have. So. Okay.
All right. Yeah. If you want, because I'm looking at your website now. I've only been new to your website basically for, I don't know, about a couple of weeks, but I couldn't find anything of contact as far as emails go. I mean, do I just email you through the Blog Talk Radio account, or how do I do that? Because I can, like, write this all out in detail if you want.
Yeah, I would like to see that. No, just very simply, you go when you go to our website, and I suppose we're working on some upgrades and some expansion on our website. It's just we're running out of like hours in the day. But it's very simply, just click on my name underneath an article title, and an email box will open up. It's just a little magic, just like magic, it'll open up. And it's already pre-addressed. You just type what you need in there and send it off to me.
Oh, okay.
And by default, Joe will get it as well. And real simple, that's all. Real simple. Yeah, we'd like to read that. And certainly we'd like to revisit this at some future time in more detail.
Yeah, I used to do Blog Talk Radio, but obviously funds and stuff like that had to cut me short on that, you know, because I couldn't really afford to do it with the premium account anymore. But that's why it's like I came on here and called, yeah. So I'm like kind of like shaky a little bit. So, I mean, that's why my words kind of may have sounded like a little hard to understand or whatever.
Yeah,
but
you did well. You did well. I'll tell you what. Look, all of this, this shall come to pass. But in closing, do you agree? And I mean, I think we can all agree here that we're really seeing a history, biblical prophecy play out before our eyes.
Oh yeah, yeah. I personally think that, in my personal opinion, I think, and reading those last three or four articles that you printed out, I mean, doing the research on my own as well with everything I found out regarding Syria. Because I was looking at an article from Jim Stone Freelance, I mean, like a day after this happened, and this guy from Jim Stone Freelance was saying, wait a minute, this is already bogus because there is no consulate in Benghazi, you know, and then I found that you were talking about this, you know, just recently, and you came up with this massive interview with this source of yours, and I'm like looking at this whole Syria situation, and personally, I think, yeah, I think Syria will definitely be the catalyst to really get the ball rolling. I personally, I think that's going to be the linchpin to bring us into the what most call or the tribulation time of trouble. I'm not one that looks at the whole rapture scenario. I basically look at it as we're going to have to go through this, but that's my own thing. But I think that the Syria situation is really going to be the linchpin, basically the timetable to get things rolling.
It's definitely a marker in history. Very good, sir. Very good. Thank you so much for your call. One more time before we cut you loose, your YouTube channel again.
It's JJ Vassal 1982.
spell the last name. JJV what?
VASSIL.
VASSIL. Okay, yeah. JJVASSIL 1982. All right,
yep.
Yeah.
YouTube channel.
And
yep.
Jesse, we'll hook up our YouTube channel and subscribe to your, yours.
There you go.
Appreciate you coming on and giving us a call. And
need to spread the truth.
Oh, yeah.
Call
well,
again sometime.
Oh yeah, well, yeah, I'll definitely be
yeah, we'll
that.
Be looking for your we'll be looking for your email as well. Thanks for the call, man.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Have a good night.
You too.
All right. That was Jesse, first time caller. We've got a lot of other callers on hold. I don't see your guy.
All right. Let's just as quickly as we can, because we want to talk to everybody here. We've got about 37 minutes left of the program. Let's see if we can get through these callers. Let's be on point, folks. Let's be on point, and let's get her done.
All right, area code 724. We're coming to you now. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report. Thanks for your patience.
Hey, can you hear me?
We can.
Okay, good. I've been listening to Santana, Doug. Maybe you should do a little Europa.
The 70s child. No,
right,
70s child.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying. You know, go back to the basic. Jeez, oh, man.
Yeah.
The fellow that you had on right before I came on, you know, he's quoting all these scriptures. And that's wonderful for people that understand scripture. But most people don't. That's not the way to get the message across.
That's not the way to do it,
you know. And no, because they don't get it. You know that. You all know that. I mean,
I think quoting scripture serves a purpose, even if they don't understand it. Okay, but wait.
To a degree. But in order to lasso them in, you know what I mean, lasso them in, you can't use scripture because it confuses them.
Okay, how would you do it? Seriously, how would you, what do you recommend?
Okay, I start with what's going on with the geopolitical world right now. I start with comparing what's going on right now with biblical prophecy, but not, you know, just quoting, just relating. I mean, that's all you need to do. Just relate what's going on today with what is, you know, Daniel, you know, Mark, Revelations, I mean, Peter, it's all there.
How can somebody understand prophecy if they don't understand the foundation of the Lord and his land?
Wait a second, Joe. I think what she's saying is, look, don't hit him with a whole bunch of scripture, like, say, you know, Zechariah 17, Revelation 15, Isaiah 19, whatever.
Right. They're not going to listen to you. They're not going to listen to you because, in their eyes, you're fanatical.
That's okay. They can think, I mean, they think we're fanatical for having Constitution bumper stickers on our.
No, but I understand where, look, having, look, being of the same, and I would suspect we're pretty close in age, you know, you and I.
Well,
okay.
you got, if you're going to spread the word, son, you need to spread it so that people accept it. You know,
okay.
You can't go at them with all this, vengeance or whatever you want to call it. I don't know. Scripture isn't going to work initially. It may come into place as time goes on, but scripture is not going to really play a big role in this.
What you're saying is you can't lead with scripture. You can back it up, but you can't lead with it.
Yes, exactly.
For people like you.
Exactly.
Right.
You got to get to
their
level.
Our goal, I mean, we're not put here to convert people. We are here to plant.
But no. She's not. That's not what she's saying.
I understand exactly where she's coming from in a conversation. In other words, you can't. I understand exactly what she's saying.
You cannot lead by saying go to Isaiah or Psalm 83, go to Isaiah 17, go to Revelation 6.
You can't get the word of the Lord across by.
No. She's saying this. Look, hand you a newspaper and say, read that headline. Okay, now look where it relates in the Bible.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Right.
And the other thing too, is what
we
are told.
Move,
okay, listen. What we are told is we're told to lead with gentleness and kindness. And when we quote all these scriptures and whatnot, you know, the people that we're talking to and trying to awaken and help, they're thrown aback by that. You know
what I mean? No, I know what you mean. But the scripture is not
attacking them or being offensive to or coming at them because their inability to interpret scripture or their lack of knowledge, in my opinion, it's not part of what we do. We give the message that to the point where explaining current events through biblical prophecies when it applies, I understand that. But what good is that if nobody has a foundation as to why it's important?
But she said don't lead with it. That's all she's saying. I understand that.
Agree or disagree, I just think that in order to bring people into the truth, you need to gather them gently so that they're not afraid or leery. Maybe leery is a better word than afraid, because, you know, there's so many things going on out there right now. You know, there's supposed to be some freaking mothership coming down in December to pull everybody up into the sky, some ascension thing. I mean, what's up with that? So, you know, I'm supposed to be talking to my people about, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ when they're worried about some freaking mothership coming and ascending them. Come on.
Yeah.
You know what's going on out there. You guys know what's going on out there. It's crazy.
Well, no, it is crazy. We love your passion. That mothership stuff, look, that's all New Age stuff. We don't get into that, and of course.
Yeah, ascension is a New Age teaching, thinking
hey,
people
okay,
can...
Okay, so you're not getting into that. You're not getting into that. And I'm wondering why you're not getting into that, because so many people are talking about it, and why aren't you clearing that matter up?
Ascension is...
I think she's asking why aren't we even addressing
it. We have addressed it. Ascension, the White Galactic Federation coming back to save the planet, all these New Age ideas that people will attain a higher level of consciousness and go to the next dimension after the... 2000 or December 21st. It's all New Age crap. We went over it tons and tons and tons of times.
People just discovered you 2 weeks ago or 2 months ago. So you went over it tons and tons of times, but I've never heard it. I've never heard anybody dispel the myths of this freaking ascension thing, and somebody better, because it's messing up a lot of people's minds. Not mine, mind you, not mine, but a lot of people's. So
well,
ignoring it is... Why are you ignoring it?
Well, nobody's ignoring
it. Yeah, we're not ignoring it. We are actually...
I mean, I talked about the New Age earlier this show. It is not a problem of ignoring it. It is not relevant, except for the fact that it is deceiving people. And we have pointed out the ways. Look at the UN and the Lucius Trust Organization. We have done extensive talking about that. That is New Age. The New Age Maitreya, the One World Order. This is all New Age religion.
And we've only had 3 hours a show. We can't cover everything, and we certainly cannot.
I understand that, and that's cool. You know what? Go to your next caller. I'm cool with that.
Right.
I love you guys. You're doing a great job. I don't know how you do it, but you know.
Neither do we. Neither do we.
I'll tell you what. We will. I will do an extra piece putting together some stuff on New Age, because it is important. And if you haven't heard it, maybe others haven't heard it. But
yeah, it's a good point. So thanks for the call.
I'm telling you that there are so many misguided people out there. They just don't know which way to go. And
we know.
You know what I'm talking about.
I sure do. All right. God bless you. Thank you for the call. And that point. All right.
All right.
Love you guys.
Love you too. Thanks.
Gave you a piece of paper there for the alternative ID on this person. I'm not sure if
there is no alternative ID. I don't see him here, but... I think I know who it is.
Let's give this a try.
Let me see if I got this right. Let's see. Caller on Skype, Gray.
No, is this Pierre?
Pierre.
Is this you?
Peter.
I'm sorry?
No, it's Lori. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. It's a bad Skype connection, but that's all right. Go ahead.
Well, if you can't hear me, there's not much point. Is that any better?
Yeah, we can hear you a little better.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's Lori, and I had a question from some time ago Doug, when you were talking about, you guys were talking about getting pulled over and all that for the phone and all this kind of thing. And it sounds kind of trivial, but it really is a big deal, because under common law, which nobody here's lived under, who's the victim? The state. This is how all this stuff ties in. This is why we have laws, wars without any backing, because we ignore the law. I don't know if that's
okay.
Coming out right, but it's back when you were talking about that, Doug, with getting pulled over.
No.
Now, I agree, it's a bad thing for people to be doing that, but there's no victim. Until you run that car off and hit something, there's no victim. And the state claims to be the victim.
Right. So what's your point, though?
Well, my point is that very law form is what leads to what we have today, where you have the Congress is supposed to declare wars, but we now have an executive run amok saying, well, it's not a war, it's a military kinetic action. One thing leads to the other was the only point I was saying, and that's kind of a little foot in the door.
Right. We agree with you on that. Now, we don't want to for example, checkpoints. We can't trivialize those, because we see what happens with the checkpoints and how things just go, grow. And, of course, that breeds the mentality, the conditioning for the TSA and so on. And it's a matter of conditioning and control. I'm not so sure. I mean, I understand what you're saying about the victimology and the lack of a victim, and then having the state classified as a victim under common law. I understand that argument. I just don't see us winning many conversational arguments when we drag common law into it, if we approach it in that fashion. Now, that said, it's not wrong. It's just a matter of how we look at it. But you're right in the concept. You're right in the fact that, it'd be like, smoking marijuana in your home and never leaving your home. Well, it's like violating a dog license ordinance, but you have a dog, okay? It's that kind of thing. So we understand that.
Yeah, your caller here, what is that, time bird or whatever, just hit it. God's law is common law. That's the crux of it right there. Whoever that is, they got it. And when we abandon God's law, then we're in trouble. And that's that. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much there, Timber Bird or whatever that name is, because that's really
all
where
right.
I was going. Well, I don't want to tie up any more of your time. I just thought I'd get that little blurb out.
All right. Well, God bless you. Thank you very much. And that's a good point, caller. That's a very good point. All right. Thanks for the call. What's that?
I said we're looking forward to having you on the 13th.
Oh, yeah, Lori. We're going to be on Lori's show. This is Lori's from News Talk Radio.
Right. Okay.
We'll be on after our show for an hour, and we look forward to it.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, this Skype connection is so bad, I didn't even recognize
okay.
your voice. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, it's terrible when you can't recognize people's voices.
Just a quick recap here.
Wow.
Before we took a couple calls ago, the people in the chat room said we lost sound. There's nothing popping or flashing here on our end, and on Troy's end, nothing either. So I don't know what that's about.
Well, let me just interject this here. We've been getting a lot of reports of people that will call in, and actually there are programs out there that will create problems where the sound will go out, and we try to keep ahead of that, but they're and as crazy as you might think that this might be, they are people that will do this for the purpose of knocking our sound out, and that's okay. That's just the way it goes.
I want to find our caller here we're waiting for. And they said they were on hold for an hour and a half, and it resets after an hour.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, we can't look. I don't know if you're. Are you sure we're calling? No.
Oh, let's go to Pat. Yes. 865. Pat, you're on live with the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Very well.
Well, good. I'm glad. Glad you took my call. I got freaked out about something yesterday, and I wanted to see what you thought. Took my daughter to a nearby walk-in clinic, and I had to sign off on the notice of privacy practices before she got seen. So I'm reading the two full pages, and I noticed recently, they're getting more and more invasive. But listen to this, and I'll send this to you if you want.
I've got a copy.
This is the worst one.
I've got a copy. Go ahead.
Okay. This one, part of it is national security. We may disclose your health information to federal officials for intelligence and national security activities authorized by law. We may also disclose your health information to federal officials in order to protect the president, other officials, or foreign heads of state, or to conduct investigations. My daughter had the flu, and if I didn't sign off on this, I wasn't getting her treated.
Whoa. What's your first name?
Goodness. Pat.
Pat, right? Pat.
I'm in Tennessee, yeah.
Then it's different state by state. Mine did not say that. It had a national security advisory on it, but not that specific. If you could, and if you don't mind, what I would do is I would block out anything that's privileged or proprietary or, you know, personal. And I'd like to be able to post that on our website because
sure.
To me is, you know, so if you could scan that and send it to me via email, I'd really appreciate that.
I'd be glad to, Doug. I'll send it tomorrow. There were other two freaky things, if I could read them real quick. The one says, research. Now, this, mind you, I have a 14-year-old, so I don't want her information out there. We may review your health information to see if you are eligible to participate in a research study. All research projects must be reviewed and approved by members of our organization. Except under limited circumstances, we will obtain your approval in writing before we use and disclose your information for approved research projects. So in other words, there are some cases where they don't get my permission to give out my daughter's information. And the last, I mean, there's a bunch, but this one, military also. We may disclose your health information if you are a member of the United States or foreign military forces, including veterans, and if required by the appropriate authorities. Well, that's general. So, you know, I just could not believe how invasive that was.
That is certainly more invasive than the one I signed at my last doctor's appointment because, in fact, they just came out with a new one. And I thought you were going to, because mine was two pages, like almost like a page and two-thirds. Okay.
Yep. Well, this is like two full pages. Yes.
Okay.
It's like a booklet.
All right. Well, okay. Look, and it's only going to get worse under these Affordable Health Care Act. Now you've got the IRS agents. They're the enforcement arm of this. And, holy cow.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't wait for you to get, and I promise you I'll block out, or if you want to block out whatever you need to block out, but I certainly think people have to see this in black and white to understand.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I will, and I'll email it tomorrow, but this used to be a private walk-in clinic. This is where I went. I was the one, remember, from the oil spill, went there, and it was invasive then, but this has gotten much more. And when I was there the last time to see the neurologist, he almost pushed me out of there. Like, he wanted to help me. He's wonderful. He almost said, like, in other words, get out of here. Because there was just something, because he was trying to protect me. And then, so I just went back, and they said these changes took place in October. So I'm thinking now, came across some other chemical thing, I'd be almost afraid to go for help because you don't want your information going to government agencies without your permission. You know what I mean? It's like, it's scary.
Well, there is no such thing as privacy anymore, Pat, and it's sad, especially when you take your daughter in because of the flu or some other ailment, and you've got to be subjected to this and then worry about the ramifications from this because you're signing something, and really, you're authorizing them to basically give you a national security colonoscopy.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to put it.
And you know what the weird part was, though? I'm sitting in there with maybe 30 people because everybody's got the flu here, and 20, 30 people in the waiting room, and nobody's noticing. They're looking at it. They might read it for a few seconds. And I'm sitting there like, holy smokes. You know, it just, people were oblivious to that, was blowing my mind. It didn't seem to raise concern in people. And the other last thing I want to say is I was in the hospital that just bought this conglomerate, just bought up the walk-in clinics around here. First, they bought this hospital. And when I was in the hospital, they said, for the heart thing from that chemical, they wanted to know if I had a flu shot. Now I'm 55. It's not like I'm elderly and had to have one. Why didn't I want one? Like, what was the reason? Yeah. So it's part of the same. Yeah. Same system.
Yeah. They are on a full-fledged bush.
Believe it or not,
every single.
That's one paper that I did not, for like 4 years in a row, I had to sign papers about a flu shot. This is the first time I never had to do that at my doctor's office. So that's interesting. Okay.
But if you go to a private doctor, like I found a Christian private doctor, I go to him now. But if you go to these places that are being bought up by conglomerates that I'm sure are somehow connected with the Health and Human Services, they have to go under their regulations. Unless they're receiving money or something, they have all kinds of these crazy things. And this other, it was a group part of the conglomerate with my daughter. They wanted to know how come I didn't give her that HPV vaccine. And I didn't say anything, but I wanted to say, because I believe they're causing neurological problems. I think those ones up, the girls up in New York, there was some connection with that, whether that was a piece of the puzzle. But what I'm saying is I'm 55 years old. I've seen how things used to work, and I never got questioned. How come you didn't give your daughter a flu shot? How come you're not getting one? What's your reason? Aren't you getting her the HPV? And I'm looking at him like, what? But I have to be careful with my responses, which I just think is so strange. But I thank you for listening, you know, to this, because when I read that about national security, and I thought, what does that have to do with protecting the president? You know, it's like, what?
See, that language is extremely disturbing to me, because, like I said, I did not see that on mine. I read mine very thoroughly. It had Homeland Security applications, but it had nothing about the president. To name the president or a head of state or head of any agency by name, to identify him, you know, or by position, to me, tells me that there is a misguided allegiance here. And, wow, that's frightening. So I'm looking forward to getting that from you, Pat, and God bless you. And certainly, when you send it to me, make sure you let me know how you want the attribution to read, or if you want it to remain anonymous. But either way, this information's got to get out to the people so they know.
All right, terrific. And, yes, I think anonymous. I'll let you know that. They said this took effect in October, because I asked the girl. I said, when did this start? October. Well, I don't want to hold you. Thank you very much for taking my call.
God bless.
And I'll send this tomorrow.
God bless. Hang in there.
God bless you.
Too. Wow.
Thanks.
You keep us
sane.
You too, Joe. Bye, Doug.
Bye.
Wow, man. Joe, I'll tell you, it's something. All right.
We got our guy on hold here. The person has been on hold for a while.
Well, I'm sorry.
No, they say that they can hear audio disturbances on hold.
All right. Let's bring the caller on.
We're coming to you now. I'll call you Greg.
Hey, guys. It's Pierre. My name's Pierre, but I go by Gray Malkin. Everyone in the waiting room, hey, what's up? I know we don't have a lot of time, guys, because you only got about less than 10 minutes before you go off the air. I guess we're just going to have to catch up later on the issues that you talked about, because you hit home on a lot of interesting things, and I would really like to give you my take on this from an intelligence perspective.
Let's let listeners know your background as much as you care to give, because I think it's important for context.
Okay. The bottom line with me, guys, is I'm a Marine Corps vet. I'm an officer, or was an officer. I've done 12 years. I specialized in the infantry, went on my way up from enlisted to becoming an officer, a Mustang, as they call it. It was from the infantry all the way into intelligence. So I have a broad spectrum of things. I'm not no tier one operative or spec ops. That's not me. Okay. My thing is more of, I'm the guy that thinks outside the box. I do future trends and projections, if you can put it in that kind of context for what is to come, how it will happen, what do you see happening, how do these chain of events happen, how do they link up, then how can you, from there, why is this happening, and is there a way to curtail it? And that's a pretty difficult thing to do, but I have this talent to where I can just put pieces of the puzzle together. And then from there, I paint this lovely macabre picture of things to come. It's just how it is. And like with Syria, for instance, I wrote documents on that 3 years ago, for instance. There's a lot of things that I wrote about years back that's still classified to this day. And the things that we're going through today is in part to some degree what I wrote about. And the more I thought about this, guys, you know, at first I'm just thinking, well, here I am writing these reports and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And, you know, it's good for the country and all this stuff. But then the more I looked at this from a spiritual aspect of things, it made me really wonder about myself. It made me wonder if I'm being a seer or something to that effect, maybe like a lens or so for God. Because everything I did, you know, I prayed for, I had to get counsel on. And these things just, they just come, it just blows right on out. And like right now where we're at, so you got about 8 minutes left, I think. We've got potential regional, not potential, it's going to happen. The regional conflict that's going to break out in Syria, which is going to spread all the way through Jordan, Israel, and so forth. You have that issue
right.
Going on, and it can go very nuclear rather quickly. The Samson protocols, that is very real, folks. It is not a joke. And you can bet your dollars to dimes, Netanyahu will get the Mona kicking up out there in a desert, and a nuke will be dropped, either on Syria or Iran. He's not playing around with that. You've got Egypt that is in complete and utter chaos right now. And about the only good thing that's coming out of this is the will of the people are standing up against the tyranny that is through Mohammed Morsi and his Muslim Brotherhood and the Islamists, who, by the way, guys, have decided to say in a gesture of solidarity with him, we're going to declare jihad against the people of Egypt if you don't stop, because he's legitimate. Well, no, he's not. If he was legitimate, he wouldn't be on a run for his life. I've never seen anything like that happen so fast, so quickly. And I parallel Morsi with Obama. You guys can see this parallel. Only difference between Morsi and Obama is slow and methodical in what he's doing. But the thing is that the people here are catching up with that. The more people are waking up to him and his cohort's plans, the more they have to adjust or ramp things up. So it's kind of, the scale literally is tipping, whereas in Egypt, the scale has totally tipped, and the people want their change. You can only go about things peacefully for so long before you have to take it to the next level. So there's only three levels to things. There is the peaceful way of revolution. Then the peaceful way becomes the intellectual. The intellectual and a peaceful, should that not work, automatically goes into the third and final stage, which is physical revolution. And that's what we're seeing over there. It's happening. A lot of this stuff was engineered by the Western countries. It's no big secret. You guys talked about this. Steve Quell's talked about this. Everyone has talked about how our hands have been in the cookie jar on these things. And now it's come to bite us in the tail. Then you have on the spiritual front with the United States of America, people have turned their backs, their collective backs, on the Lord. Now, you all know what that means. And you all know what kind of judgment, or you can dream of what the judgment's going to be. I've been having visions of this for a very, very long time. And I can't really get into it because we don't have a lot of time right now. And it's a very big eye opener.
Realizing that we're up against, realizing about the time constraints, I take it you've read what I've written about Benghazi and about Syria and about the bigger objective.
They're totally connected. Okay. So there's no way of even remotely denying this. I mean, I've never seen a more blatant act of smoke and mirrors being tossed than I had with Benghazi.
Am I missing anything in there that from what you've seen? Is there anything that is not right or I'm missing?
The only thing I think that needed to be added into this, and it seems like it's a minor thing, but believe me when I tell you it is not. It's on the home front here when you have BHO's International Senior Security Advisor, whatever, Valerie Jarrett, talking out on the mainstream media and on the international news saying that when he gets in office, vengeance is going to be given. You know, we're going to get our revenge. And we are looking at it, gentlemen, and everyone in a waiting room, we're looking at this. The revenge is happening. We've had two flag officers removed from their commands in the field. This hasn't happened since Douglas MacArthur, okay, and George S. Patton. You got Rear Admiral Gallet relieved from his command on the Stennis battle group, which, by the way, is a very stressed out group because they've been deploying left and right with no breaks, because he was going to do the right thing and get his people out there, the in extremist teams out there, to go get the ambassador and those seals out. You had General Ham of AFRICOM, who was going to do the same thing. The whole thing is the in extremist team was supposed to go in and do their stuff. These military commanders had the right to do it. They didn't need approval, but since the executive powers wanted it to be like that, they didn't have a choice but to. But that didn't mean that they didn't have the assets in place. By virtue of having those assets in place, condemned them. There is a culling going on within, a peaceful or quiet culling of the military flag ranks in the halls of power at the Pentagon and on Capitol Hill, because he is afraid. And when a person like that is afraid, all kinds of stupid stuff can happen. We're witnessing it. The signing of multiple executive orders faster than we can bat an eyelash at. We don't even know what all those EOs are. We don't. And they're going to affect us. The fact that God is being eliminated out of schools, it's horrible. I don't have a lot of words for this right now. I will give you my information, and I know everyone here wants to still hear me talk. I'm not sure if I can roll in on Thursday because of my work schedule. You know, I do two jobs.
Okay.
But I will let you know when we can do this.
Send me an email. I want to have you back on from a military perspective, to the extent you can provide information that's not classified.
And also, I have your Skype name here. I'll send you a contact request from our show.
For our studio, right.
I don't have my computer. I can't use Skype until I get that back. But we can be in touch, definitely.
Let me leave you guys with this real quick. So you guys can close your show out right. Do the job that you're doing. You do not stop. You plan accordingly. You keep opening up the eyes and ears of everyone out there. Those that will listen will know what you're saying. The day that comes when crap hits the fan and things get cut, you guys move out, you bail, do what you got to do. We keep the show going on the air. You know, you guys could potentially be the new voices of America. When France was overrun by the Germans, you had the French resistance running their thing over the air. Don't be too surprised if you two wind up doing the same thing. That's all I got to say on the matter.
Well, thank you so very much, my friend. And we do have plans to stay relevant after the, you know what, hits the fan.
STFU. SHT, you know what I mean. Yes.
I got you.
It's kind of foobar, guys, foobar.
Very articulate, very, very good. Thank you, my friend. God bless you, and stay safe out there.
Thanks very much.
Joe, we've left you in a little better knowledge position than when you came. We'd like to thank you for sticking with us, and thank you for your patience with us.
And don't forget tomorrow night, 9 p.m. to midnight, Eastern Standard Time with Steve Quayle.
Then we'll be back here Thursday and Friday, normal times. God bless you all. We want to thank each and every one of you for listening. We have the greatest audience in the world.
We do.
And we are so blessed. And each and every day, I get reminded more and more how blessed we truly are.
Remember, every one of you, your leaders, put on the spiritual armor of God. Go out there, play your zone. God bless.
Have a good night.